Recording in progress.
Good evening and welcome. This is the September 23rd meeting of the Kitsap County Planning Commission. I want to thank you all for your participation. This is the largest group we've had in here in several years. We have arranged for overflow. If some of you standing in the back are not comfortable standing, the room next door has accommodations and is available if you want to go there. Just an item of general housekeeping. If you'll notice on the door coming in, they said that the fire alarms aren't working. They have fire watches running around, watching out for that. If there is an emergency that requires evacuation, they will notify us directly and ask to immediately leave the room. There is a door here at the front. You go out through the back doors, and then you go left and go out, or you go right and down the stairs and go out. Once in the lobby, please continue to exit. Additionally, since there is a fire watch and we don't have the normal procedures, we are limited to have this session go until 9 o'clock. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll start with introductions.
Good evening, Adrian Hampton, Central Kitsap. Kathy Meisenberg, North Kitsap.
Good evening, Richard Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Tammy Bowen, North Kitsap.
Ashley Hall, South Kitsap.
Caleb Nelson, South Kitsap.
Danielle Delpit, South Kitsap.
David?
Yes, David Vliet signing in from Austin, Texas. I'm sorry I'm not there tonight for this very important topic. North Kitsap.
This meeting will be a hybrid meeting in that we have participation from off-site via Zoom and then here in the building. Please silence all your electronic devices during the meeting. If you're attending in person, please refrain from conversations and other attendees or staff during the meeting. If you're worried about recording, this meeting is being recorded. It's available on BCAT. If you wish to provide general comments during the comment period, you have four methods available. First, virtual attendees, raise your hand at the appropriate time using the raise hand button on the Zoom window. Your name will be called and your microphone will be unmuted. Second, call-in attendees can signal by pressing *9 on the keypad. The last four digits of the phone number will be called and you'll be connected. You may have to dial *6 to unmute your phone. Third, written comments and testimonies submitted to the staff prior to 2 p.m. yesterday will be considered in today's meeting. Comments submitted after 2 p.m. will be included for consideration of future meetings. Fourth, in-person speakers will be invited to speak during the general public comment period or during the public hearing. Please refrain from commenting about public hearing topics until you're on the public hearing. What that's saying is the first general comment period will be anything else other than rural. If you want to talk on rural, and you wanted part of the testimony, then that'll have to be done in the public section of the hearing that we get into later tonight. For all speakers, please state your name and your general area in which you live. We'll start with the adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the agenda as presented.
I second.
Motion and second. Do we have any comments? Any revision? All in favor of the agenda? Agenda passes. Next is the adoption of minutes for August 5th.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the minutes as presented by staff for the August 6th meeting.
A second.
Comments? Revisions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Minutes passed. This opens the first public comment period. As I said, this is for general comments not related to rural. Anybody want to speak? Please come up to the mic.
Hi, my name is Dawn Oyen, and I appreciate and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I am in Port Orchard. I have a facility. I operate a farm and equestrian facility here in Kitsap County. I am here today not just as a property owner, but as a steward of our rural heritage and a provider of community programs that serve youth.
Excuse me. I need to warn you that your testimony is not being recorded for the public hearing. This is a general comment period for anything else other than rural.
This is equine rural.
That's part of the rural public hearing that we want to get to tonight.
Okay, is that not what this is?
This is not that. This is a general comment period about anything else in the county other than that.
Okay, well, that's not the part I want.
Okay, thank you.
So, thank you.
Other general comments? Any general comments from the internet?
No general public comments online.
Hearing no general comments further, I'm closing the first general public period. The next step in the procedure is we're going to do some business on deliberations for the sewer system. We're going to go try to get through that fairly rapidly so that we can get into the public hearing for rural.
Good evening, Planning Commission. You know me well. For the other members of the community, my name is Anthony Burgess. I'm here representing the sewer utility, helping finish the very lengthy project of updating our sewer standards for the year 2025. This evening is the deliberations and finding of fact. I have a very short agenda. It's a quick review of the procedural history that we've had before you, next steps, which are the deliberations and findings of fact, and then I will have a sample motion on the screen for you. As a summary, this process has gone through the full scope of public engagement, starting with the Kitsap Builders Association, a briefing with yourselves, two work studies. We had a SEPA comment period, and a public hearing, and all commentary that was collected during that process has been included in your packets for deliberations and findings of fact. If this process were to move forward tonight, with your approval, the next step is a briefing with the Board of County Commissioners and then formal adoption through resolution on a general meeting. Just as a very quick recap, we had two parts, which was jurisdictions, means, and methods, updating our standards, which had not been touched for nearly 30 years, and another priority of focusing on development issues. And again, all of those changes and lengthy conversations were summarized in the final package, which is before you. And with that, please move forward with your deliberations.
Okay, I need a motion to consider by paragraph the deliberation.
I move to consider by paragraph and recommendation adoption of changes to the standards for sanitary sewer construction as presented by staff and amended by us.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, let's go.
Well, as I understand, what has been proposed is that we review the proposed changes paragraph by paragraph. I'm not sure that's something that we need to do given the general approach.
What was included in your packets was a summary of our hearing presentation,
right?
Which captured more of the overall changes. But you are correct in that this is a full rewrite of the standards. Preparing a line-by-line summary of changes would have yielded a very lengthy document. But this commission was very involved in hand-selecting priority issues to discuss in a robust format, which I tried to capture in the document as best I could.
Let me approach it this way. Does anybody have any comments and changes that they want to make as a result of the submission that we have in front of us? This is going to be easy.
Mr. Commissioner, or Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the findings of fact, conclusions, and recommendations of the Kitsap County Planning Commission to the Department of Public Works Sewer Utility Division regarding the proposed changes to the Kitsap County standards for sanitary sewer construction as presented by staff this evening.
A second.
Further comments? All in favor? Passed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Now I need a motion for findings of fact for the that brings us to the year of the rural. We will start this hearing by a presentation from staff, and then we'll figure out how do we get all these people to talk when they want to.
Good evening. For the audience, my name is Scott Diener. I'm the manager of planning for Kitsap County Department of Community Development, and I will let my colleague introduce herself shortly once she gets underway with her presentation. I will only take a couple minutes, if that. So tonight we're here to talk about Year of the Rural. I think everybody probably understands what Year of the Rural includes, but if not, after the presentation that follows here shortly, you'll have a better understanding. Once this Year of the Rural program is approved by the board in December, and we don't know what that approval format will look like, but we know something will be approved, it will then become a part of our comprehensive plan, Chapter 3, and it will be called Rural and Resource Lands. Chapter 2, sorry. The old chapter was Chapter 3. This will be Chapter 2. Thank you. And this particular program impacts everybody, not just people that live in rural Kitsap, but people who recreate and want to maintain rural Kitsap for the way it is. So it's important for everybody to at least be aware of and participate. It's a document that will be used by decision makers, DCD, the Planning Commission, and policymakers, the Board of County Commissioners. Tonight we're going to begin with a work study, and we will then go into public hearing, and we'll see how that goes, whether we need to have another meeting scheduled as well. And many are here for equine issues tonight, but we'll also discuss proposed code for ag uses, if anybody wants to testify on that, child care facilities and making those more available throughout Kitsap, as well as three requests to change their rural zoning designation from what they currently are to either commercial or rural industrial, rural commercial or rural industrial. It's important, I think, for everybody to understand that the comments that we hear tonight will be reviewed by staff Staff will make comments on those comments, and we'll provide that matrix of comments and staff's review to the Planning Commission and to the Board of County Commissioners. Those comments will inform on what a final product looks like in front of the board for them to adopt. Let's see if I've captured everything here. A couple last things. There will be additional opportunity for the public to testify in front of the Board of County Commissioners and the Planning Commission, as the case may be. So I wanted to let people know that there are really two shots at this, one in front of the Planning Commission and one in front of the Board of County Commissioners. And the presentation you are about to see will also cover the process that we have gone through and we're going to be going through. With that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Planning Commissioners, and thank you to everybody in attendance in person and virtually for this presentation and this important meeting tonight. My name is Heather Cleveland. I'm a long-range planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development, and this is a presentation as part of the work study. This presentation has evolved throughout the multiple times I've presented. Some of it will be repeating, so I'll kind of go through that quickly to spend a little bit more time on the deliverables and then wrap up so that we can hear testimony from the community. So this is the agenda for tonight, so project overview, how this relates to the Growth Management Act, how it connects to the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan that was adopted in December of 2024, an overview of our outreach, and then a description and a bit more of a breakdown of the deliverables that have been part of the Year of the Rural, which includes Rural and Resource Lands Chapter, that Scott mentioned, proposed code updates, reclassification requests, and then what's next, and then just sharing a snapshot of our project webpage where you can look at the documents and also stay up to date. So the project overview, this project included a charter and community engagement plan that was created. It's a framework for and guided us in how we were going to move forward. And this was presented to the Board of County Commissioners in December of 2024. It was partly because the Year of the Rural, it was determined in the 2.5-year project of the comprehensive plan that more focus needed to happen in rural. But that is also a very broad topic, so we worked to hone in on what that would look like, and that's what the charter was. And then within that, we worked to determine what those three deliverables will be. And I had mentioned those earlier, but Rural and Resource Lands Chapter update, potential code updates, and reclassification request recommendations. We also, throughout this process, there's been significant outreach and engagement, and I have an overview of that. Research and gap analysis was also part of our scope of work. So research, best practices in the state of Washington, but also throughout the country, and also gap analysis on plans that exist and do we align with it. An example of a plan that we've reviewed and relied on is Great Peninsula Conservancy's conservation plan and their concept of working lands as conserving lands, and then also data analysis and mapping. I will say that we scratched the surface of this, and you'll see in the Rural and Resource Lands chapter a recommendation for a rural lands analysis that came from us just starting to scratch the surface on data analysis and mapping in rural Kitsap. Next slide. So this comes from the Growth Management Act, which passed in 1990. It has planning goals, and within that there are two goals, goals number 8 and number 9, that you'll see recognized in the Rural and Resource chapter. It serves as a reference as it relates to the rural element, which is required. So in the description of the rural element, which that's what the Rural and Resource Lands chapter is addressing, the focus of that is rural character. And so we worked hard throughout this process to understand rural character, and you'll see the baseline for that is a definition of rural character by the state, but then we work to define that for what it means to Kitsap County. Another part of the Growth Management Act is three main land types. That includes urban, rural, and resource. Of those three, two are within the Rural and Resource Lands chapter. They're significant. What you'll see in our Rural and Resource Lands chapter is a potentially fourth concept, which we're calling working lands. So that's something to pay attention to. And it's important to note for Kitsap County, as we do not have agricultural zoning. And with that, we're working to identify if there's if it's not a resource land, but it is a working land, and how can we work to preserve that? And you'll find that identified in that chapter. This is a tiered planning process, so it starts from the state and then goes down to a four-county planning process. The Growth Management Act is about managing growth, and that relates to employment, housing, and population. And it starts with that four-county planning, and it's around the Puget Sound. And it's interesting that they have significant higher populations than us, but we're the third densest population. So it continues to be a challenge for Kitsap County as we grow and are limited and have environmental constraints. So this is equally challenging for us as it is for Pierce County and King County and others. Then it goes down to a countywide planning process and policies. So that's when Kitsap County works with the four cities in Kitsap County together to work on those targets for the growth of employment, population, and housing. And then it goes to Kitsap County. The history, Kitsap County's history, so I mentioned earlier that the Growth Management Act passed in 1990. We didn't adopt our first comprehensive plan until 1998. And with that, we had three invalid plans leading up to that. I mentioned that, and I keep that in mind as we continue this work, that this has been hard for Kitsap County from the beginning. We also have significantly subdivided land. 70 to 80% of our rural lands are what we call legacy lots, meaning they're less than 5 acres. It's something to note and something that, again, we just started to scratch the surface on. It makes it hard, you know, that we have those denser areas within our rural lands. Also, I noted earlier, we do not have agricultural zoning. And with that, we're the only county in the state that does not have agricultural zoning. That means we have residential and agriculture in the same zone. And then today in Kitsap County, we have our urban growth areas, we have our Lammerds, we have, and then we have our rural lands, and then our resource lands include mineral resource overlay and forest resource lands, that is also our state lands. Next slide. As Scott mentioned earlier, the rural and resource lands chapter will become a chapter of the comprehensive plan. Another piece of history that was the last time that it was a separate chapter was in the 2010 comprehensive plan, and it was woven into the land use chapter in 2016 and then again in 2024. And this is an effort to bring it back out and give it focus once again. Next slide. These are snapshots taken from the comprehensive plan. It's noteworthy, so these are housing, population, and employment. I'd like to note, so the housing was a new target, and it was a big effort. It's a big effort across the state of Washington as we're in a housing crisis. And wanted to also note, not only was housing a new projection for us to work with, but in addition to that, or within that, affordable housing. Also want to note that affordable housing is affiliated with multifamily housing, which is not allowed in rural Kitsap. However, I want to note that a recent state bill passed that would allow up to 4-plexes in Lammerds. Allow it, not require it. So it's something that you'll see in our chapter that we are proposing should be considered in the future. Lammerds are limited area of more intense rural development. Thank you, Scott. Then when it comes to population and employment, interestingly, as you look at this chart here, we have our UGAs you can see listed, and then at the very bottom you see rural. Well, the numbers and how those work, part of that process is what's called a buildable lands report and a land capacity analysis within that. So that has to do with what is our capacity and how much can we build based on our regulations with respect to height, setbacks, what's undeveloped. A lot of assumptions are put within that, but that's what we do, and that's development regulations were updated to ensure that we could accommodate the projections that we're working to target. When you see that rural row, there isn't an analysis affiliated with that. That is what's left over. And what we're advocating for and proposing in the rural and resource lands chapter is what we're calling a rural lands analysis. We're looking for numbers to be affiliated with goals for rural and resource lands so that in addition to looking at and accommodating growth, how can we protect and conserve our rural and resource lands with numbers. Next slide. This is a summary of our outreach, and it includes, I had mentioned earlier, we have a comprehensive plan that was a 2.5-year project. It includes 4 public comment periods. So from those comments, which were available and are available publicly, we pulled anything related to rural and summarized that. You will find those summaries on our project webpage. Then in 2025, we had a survey 1.0 in February and March, and we had over 1,000 participants in that survey. And that was more of a general survey about rural character and some of the things that we're working on and focusing on within the rural, within the year of the rural. And then we had Survey 2.0, that was in June and July. We had about 100 participants in that, but I will acknowledge that that survey was much more technical in noting, you know, we have to walk the line of getting feedback on kind of more intense and detailed concepts, but also make it approachable for folks. Along with that, we did presentations, interviews, and meetings throughout this process. We worked with an agricultural working group. We worked with Kitsap County Child Care Task Force, already existing task force that we tied in to understand the barriers to child care. Interestingly, when I first started this, folks asked, well, I don't understand why child care is a part of this. Well, it's a priority for Kitsap County. It's a priority for several of the commissioners. And also how it tied into rural is that child care centers and in-home daycares, I'm switching back and forth between the terms that we are looking to update to align with state definitions, were not previously allowed in rural wooded. Kingston Rotary, another, so here, this is the list of folks that we engaged, gave presentation to, interviewed. I'll also acknowledge in the bottom two, worked extensively with multiple divisions within Department of Community Development, including current planning and building fire and safety and environmental programs. And then in June, we hosted 3 workshops. Those were held in North, Central, and South Kitsap, where we did exercise with related to rural character. We and then focused on several highlight and areas of interest to us, such as child care. We talked about battery energy storage systems, and also promoted this process and what would be coming next and when the deliverables would be published. What you see in the blue part is the bottom, and that's when the drafts were published on September 2nd. Part of the process to promote the drafts was presentations to the community advisory councils, and that was the first and second week of September. We also held an open house on September 11th, again, to promote the deliverables and the public process. We have a public comment period, which opens September 2nd and will be open through November 10th. That's the day of the hearing with the Board of County Commissioners. And then, as was mentioned earlier, opportunities for public testimony, one of which we're here today, and then the next one will be with the Board of County Commissioners. I noted here on the right a comment that we received. This was that we consider everything. We can't address everything, but this was an important one. Forestry requires access to mills or on-site milling. What provisions are adding small-scale industrial zoning to rural wooded? We weren't able to answer this question, but it's a great one and something that we want to continue to consider in our future efforts with respect to rural work and the rural lands analysis. Next slide. This is the outline of the Rural and Resource Lands chapter. As was mentioned earlier, it is connected to the comp plan. This was important for us to follow this outline. It can't look completely different, although maybe at times we wanted it to. We really tried to stick with the chapter outline that is part of a fuller, grander comprehensive plan. So this is what you'll see and what you can see in the deliverable for the Rural and Resource Lands chapter. And again, as Scott mentioned, this is a 20-year plan. This is pointing us in a particular direction into the future. Next slide. So as we were working through the development of this chapter, these are the headers that we shook out and thought and looked at the 2010 Comprehensive Plan Rural and Resources Land chapter, what we are hearing, how to organize this. And so these are the headers that we sorted out for our goals, policies, and strategies. Rural development, resource lands and working lands that I had mentioned earlier, rural business, rural services and infrastructure, and rural environment. I'll pause for a moment to acknowledge there are other chapters. And we worked to I guess, appreciate when something is acknowledged somewhere else, and when should it be acknowledged here, and is duplicate okay? And where we tried to focus our efforts here is with as this relates to land use. And that helped us keep parameters on this, because how we felt throughout this process is rural could have its own separate comprehensive plan. Next slide. So I'm just going to highlight some of the goals for each of these, and I'll try to move quickly here. So this goal, retain the rural character of the county outside of designated UGAs. And you'll see then a list here of policies and strategies that help us work towards that. For example, limit the rural area to low residential densities, prepare a rural lands analysis to evaluate the current status and future development projects for the rural areas. I mentioned legacy lots earlier, so we're proposing evaluate legacy pre-GMA lots to identify opportunities for aggregation or other mechanisms to resolve their challenges and constraints. And those are just a few examples of what we have under rural development. Next slide. Resource lands and working lands. So we divided these into the three resource lands, forestry, mineral resources, and agriculture. And then we wove in that word working lands because previously agriculture was not under resource lands. It was separated. So we're working, how can we recognize this and look to preserve farmland and agriculture lands and recognize this in this way, although there is no agricultural zoning, which continues to be a challenge for us. Another thing that you'll notice on here that we're recommending for the future are advisory councils. That will help us in bringing and having conversations with the community, with transparency. And there are great examples from other counties, but we're proposing this for forestry and for agriculture. Next slide. Rural business, so several goals highlighted here. I'm going to focus on two of them. So increase the availability of childcare to rural residents. So you'll see, and not every goal or everything that we focus on moves to a code update, but this is one that did, as I mentioned. I will also mention with this one, it started with only rural, but we expanded it then across the board, and I'll mention that more with the code update slide. And then another area that we did pay great attention to, but did not get any the updates across the finish line that we are working to, is events. Event facilities is newer to our code. It was adopted in 2022, and it is another example of a use that is not allowed in rural wooded. There are some folks who are looking to do events in rural wooded, but it's not allowed. But I will acknowledge in chatting with folks from different parts of the county who are working towards their event facility permit, it continues, it's difficult. There are requirements that what we want to better understand before in the process to get through it before introducing that opportunity to more zones in rural and in our rural and resource lands. So anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge here that is, so it's teed up here for further investigation. We did work significantly on it and didn't get it as far as we wanted it to. Next slide. Rural services and infrastructure, some noteworthy ones here. BESS is mentioned. That was initially under the umbrella of the Year of the Rural. There's currently a moratorium, and so my colleague Jim Rogers is taking the lead on that and look for a code update on that specifically by June of 2026. Another noteworthy thing that I mentioned here earlier was consider allowing middle housing in Type 1 Lammards where appropriate. And that is related to that we're allowed to do that but not required. And it's under the Rural Services and Infrastructure because we would propose that would only happen where the infrastructure exists or can it exist. And then another thing that you'll see on here twice is because wherever I went to present, traffic was always a topic and a concern. So we have on here the second bullet under the first goal, evaluate potential options for improvements to public transportation in rural areas. And then the fourth one, enhance rural walkability and bikeability are two things that we acknowledge here, but I will also acknowledge that it's difficult. Next slide. Rural environment. This is one that has been expanded since the land use chapter. There was only one goal, and now there are multiple. This is based on the conversations and work that we've done with multiple groups. So you'll see here additional information, acknowledge, And I'm not going to go through each of them, but do know that they're based on conversations that we've had with folks, and we've already received feedback on maybe additions or some edits that can happen here and with respect to the rural environment, and then it, keeping in mind what can we do with land use, but also that we do have an environment and a climate change chapter. Next slide. These are the proposed code updates. Child care, so actively evaluating child care, horse boarding, and agriculture. And then these, the list below are for the future that we've either identified as a need for improvement in the future or we're initially under the umbrella but have been shifted. An example of that is boundary line adjustments. My colleague Carrie Salee is taking the lead on that, and stay tuned or reach out to us if you'd like more information on that. And then I've mentioned several of these already. And then we have a little breakdown of each of the proposed code updates. Next slide. So for child care, as I mentioned already, we were looking to allow child care in almost all zones in Kitsap County, with the exception of industrial and greenbelt. So what we did as part of this analysis is we first changed ACUP and CUP to P, and then we looked at the conditions from historical CUPs and ACUPs for daycares and for Montessori schools, and looked to find patterns and consistency within those. And what we heard from the child care task force and community is they're looking for predictability with this. They communicated to us when it's not predictable or laid out front what the requirements of them will be. They don't know if it will move forward, and that is a barrier to, for example, for financing. So, you'll see what's proposed in child care is adding those conditions for predictability. And then also you'll notice the change in definition. Another thing that we've heard is there's the state, and then there's also different departments. They have to follow, follow all of the different rules, and sometimes they're conflicting. So we took the state definition for child care, and that's what we've incorporated into our code. It's one, small step towards looking to be aligned with a variety of requirements. Next slide. Equestrian facilities code. So this is you can find this on the website, and here are some of the highlights from that. It is for commercial facilities and not for private, so that's something to note. The code is not retroactive. It's for legally existing facilities. It's an administrative CUP for boarding only facilities and CUP for facilities providing additional services as described in the proposed code. Standards for site design, so what you see in the conditions are standards for site design and operation to limit impacts to neighboring properties and protect public safety or public health, safety, and welfare. So this is something, if that's something that code can help, that's when we propose it. And then any other commercial uses on the property may require separate review and permitting. So this only applies to the equestrian commercial equestrian facility use. Next slide. So I added several additional slides based on the feedback that we received, and this will be posted and updated on the Planning Commission website, and then I'll also have this posted on our project webpage, so I apologize if you can't read some of these, but I'll do my best to summarize it here, some of the questions that we've received. So what is the problem we are trying to solve? So Kitsap County is the only county in the state of Washington that does not have agricultural zoning. With that, in 2016, agricultural code was adopted. Through multiple updates since 1999, the equestrian facility CUP conditional use permit was removed. It was brought to our attention that this was removed and land use compatibility became a focus area for Year of the Rural. Outreach. Outreach to the agricultural community was attempted throughout this process, but there is room for improvement. Also, an equestrian facility code working group is in the works and will work to provide feedback on an updated version for the equestrian facility code. Code origin, the proposed code was created from the previous Kitsap County code, conditions on existing CUPs, conditional use permits, and language from other counties in the state of Washington. Is this retroactive? So the equestrian facility code is not retroactive, and existing legal equestrian on existing legal equestrian facilities, nor does it apply to non-commercial facilities. What about, and then the question was, what about adding a paddock or updating existing facility? The code will apply if intensity increases. For example, begin boarding horses, that would require an administrative conditional use permit, or offer classes, for an example, and that would require a conditional use permit or other commercial uses. Unintentionally forced out as a concern, we appreciate the equestrian community and what it adds to rural character, and we hope we can find compromise with the equestrian community to address land use compatibility issues in the near future. Next slide. How will comments and testimony be incorporated into the process? So comments and testimony will be compiled, reviewed, and analyzed once the comment period with the Planning Commission closes. So as of September 23rd, at the time of the slide being added, the comment period for the Planning Commission closes today, September 23rd. And then comments and comments and comment summary will be published to the website, the project webpage, and shared with the Planning Commission before October 7th, 2025, when deliberations with the Planning Commission begins. A deliberations table will be created based on the comments and testimony and updated through discussions during that meeting. And then lastly, an equestrian facility code working group has been established with 9 equestrian industrial representatives representing the 3 districts and 1 spot for Kitsap Conservation District to be part of this conversation. And we will work together. We have 3 meetings scheduled. 2 are woven into the Planning Commission process. We will work together to draft an equestrian facility 2.0 that will be shared in advance of the Board of County Commissioner hearing on November 10th. Next slide. We're already hearing the feedback. I haven't reviewed fully the comments, but of course, you know, look through it and look for the highlights, and you know, and this will be presented to the equestrian facility code working group. But an example is the conditional use permit and the administrative conditional use permit. There's concern that they're expensive and the process is too much, and it won't be. It makes it inaccessible for people. So we are noting that. Also, that there isn't a small business threshold. So if folks are boarding 1 horse, then how the code is currently written, yes, that would be a commercial equestrian facility. So we're looking, I hope that we can find a threshold that meets that and doesn't address 1 horse or, you know, activities that are considered, you know, with the impact is within normal activities. Another concern is the 200-foot setbacks for paddocks and manure storage. So understanding that makes it not possible for some of the, I already mentioned earlier, our legacy lots. So the smaller lots, that would make this impossible for them. So we're noting that. And so I just want to know already that we are looking forward to conversation to figure out a way to update this and make this more agreeable. So we will work with the Equestrian Facility Code Working Group on potential updates and everything that we hear today and everything that we receive in the comments. Next slide. We also have a proposed update of agriculture code. So this is related to, and you can see in the code, shipping containers. And I just want to take a moment, because I was asked this at the public, at the open house, is when you look at the code document, how it's laid out, and this might be normal for us, but it's not normal for everybody. The part that's written in black in that code, in that document, is what's existing. If it's in red, it's changed. If it's struck out, it's removed, and if it's underlined, it's being added. And I apologize, in the future I'll have a slide that helps explain that or perhaps unpack that a bit on our website. Back to the agriculture code. Our understanding is that shipping containers are very helpful to the agricultural community and can be used as refrigeration. And so we're asking here for an exception to allow those for agricultural purposes. Also, there is a 4-ounce container limit or restriction that exists. We are proposing to remove that. With the thinking of that is regulated by the state. The next one is about expansion of maximum allowed size for agricultural buildings. As you look in the code, it doesn't say an amount right now because this also is a discussion with our building fire and safety division. So I'm not sure where this is going to go, but this is something that was brought to our attention by the agricultural community and that we are proposing here. And then the last one is about notification. So when I mentioned earlier forest resource lands and mineral resource overlay, we have in code required notification for anyone that moves next to one of those zones. We don't have that for agriculture because we do not have agricultural zoning. And so what this is proposing is some sort of notification system, and we're using the Open Space Act law and the agriculture current use as like a way to identify that, because as the code currently reads, it's to send notification to everyone. And it's also how it's written in there is a particular department within Kitsap County is doing that, but it hasn't happened in some years. So we're looking to find a way, how can we notify neighbors, and also, I guess, a general sense of communicating to people who move into the rural community that there are rural activities. That's the idea of that fourth one. Next slide. Reclassification requests. So in this, so I just want to pause for a moment. I've talked about the rural and resource lands chapter. That is one deliverable. I've talked about the proposed code updates. That's another deliverable. And this is the third and final deliverable, but it's extensive. So this is the reclassification requests. These are the three that moved forward. We initially had 17 that were shifted from the comprehensive plan process as part of the rural to rural. The ones that were removed in June were related to shifts to upzoning in residential. These are the ones that continued forward. Next slide. And how you'll see that displayed in the deliverables format is a staff report, and all three are in the same one. And how you see this broken down is it uses our code, which is Kitsap County Code 2108070, and that's a review criteria that we use to review each of these reclassification requests. Next slide. So this is a request to go from rural wooded to rural industrial or rural commercial. A way to skip through it where you can kind of get to the facts of what's going on or some of the details of this is the findings of fact, which you'll find at the end of each analysis. This one, one separate note of this is that it shifted from rural industrial to rural commercial. As it's a less intense request, we agreed with that. And so all of these are tentative recommendations, and our recommendation for this one is for approval. The activity and the development that's on this, it was developed before, it was pre-GMA. I'll also note another helpful map to look at through in the staff report are land use maps. This is a zoning map, but if you look at the land use map, you'll see that there is active timber industry surrounding it, and then also the large rural residential zoning that you see here is actually a golf course. Next slide. And I'll also note that previous one was, you don't have to change it though, the last one was on a county road. So that's another, and along with other things, these are the things that we look at. This one is a request from rural residential to rural industrial. This is on a state highway. You'll see, and what you'll see circled is what's being requested. Existing is rural residential. You'll see rural industrial to the east, and then also 12 trees to the west. What's noteworthy about this one is if this were to move forward, it would leave an island of zoning to the north in rural residential. The existing request and then the property to the north are owned by the same owner, and then there's an open code violation case to the north. So these are the things that we acknowledged in this, and so we proposed in this potential ways to move forward, but this is definitely one that we want to have deliberations with the Planning Commission. As we will wrestle with together what we wrestled with as a staff. So this we have no recommendation at this time. Next slide. This is our final reclassification request. It's to go from rural protection to rural commercial. And this is also on a state highway. You'll see rural industrial to the south. There's a gas station. Also, if you look at the land use map, you'll see there is a park and ride in the vicinity. And another important map to look at for this is the critical areas. To the north, the parcel, this is a multi-parcel request with two different owners. The parcel that is most northeastern, that's a little bit hard to see on this slide, is encumbered by critical areas. So with this, we have a tentative recommendation of conditional approval to remove that part. And we also have a strong advisory to aggregate these so that it leaves buildable land, considering that it's significant critical areas on the parcels. Next slide. This is what's next in the process. So the September 2nd, the deliverables were published. This also goes over the CAC presentations. September 11th was the open house. And then moving forward, we have the hearing today. We have the deliberations that I look forward to on October 7th. And then October 21st is findings of fact and recommendation. From there, we will work to put together all of this and your recommendations to have a clean 2.0 that will then go to the Board of County Commissioners. In the packet will include your recommendations, but all the comments that led to that 2.0 version. And then we have scheduled, I believe it's November 24th, the Board of County Commissioners deliberations. It's the Monday of Thanksgiving. I apologize that I didn't update that. That was recently scheduled. And then we have our Board of County Commissioners potential update meeting scheduled for at a regular meeting on December 8th. Next slide. This is the flyer that we've been sharing throughout this, showing the process, your opportunity for comment, the website. Next slide. This is a snapshot of the project webpage where you can find documents as we update it, as we update documents. And for example, this is a snapshot, but if you scroll down, you see all the meetings that we've had, and I'll add the presentation to this along with the recording of this so people can find the variety of outreach that has been done throughout this and kind of look back to see how this process has evolved. Next slide. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Without objection from the board, I will now close the work study portion of the rural planning session. We're going to take a 5-minute break to see how we can accommodate all the comments, and we'll convene back again at 6:30. So far. Can everybody hear? Could you hear all the presentations? Okay. I'll see what we can do by repeat.
We just propped the doors. We just kicked them open. We're trying. We are trying to get it cooler. There's a lot of bodies in here. Okay. We're trying our best. Yeah.
Probably one.
Mike mentioned that any like letters sent to the commissioners are shared with the planning commission on this stuff, because I heard someone talking about that in the hallway. Like, is it better to just go straight to the commissioners, or should I speak tonight? So.
Do both.
Yeah, what I would recommend is do both. Why not take advantage of the end and get what you want?
Yes.
Okay. If I can have your attention, we have about 50 people that have signed up to talk. We have about 120 people online. We're going to start out limiting people to 2 minutes at a time.
Are we ready to begin again?
Due to the number of people that signed up to make comments in person and online, the time limit for the public hearing comments is going to be limited to 2 minutes. We will be stopping the public testimony at 8:45 tonight, and we need to be sure that we're continuing the hearing on the 30th for anybody that we don't pick up tonight. Information will be published for a new Zoom link, and it will be published on the Kitsap County Planning Commission webpage. If you signed up tonight during the public hearing, we will honor and continue the order of the public speakers at the continued hearing. In-person speakers will be called first, followed by virtual call speakers. If online and you haven't got a chance to testify tonight, you still wish to do so, please attend the continuing hearing on the 30th. Additionally, if anyone would like to make written comments, please use the comment section of the Year of the Rural website. All written comments will be reviewed by both the Planning Commission and the Board of Commissioners. At the end of the public hearing, the clerk will state the first five people on the list, and they will be the first five to speak at the continuing hearing. Do we have the first five?
All right, I will read out the first five people. Please come up to the front of the room in these designated reserved seats. All right, so the first five, Don Owen, Annie Braddock, Joanne Corey, Colin Corey, and Daniel. And Dale Buick.
First.
So please come up to the front of the room. First up is Don Oyen.
Hi, as you all know, my name is Don Oyen. I have a equestrian facility here in Kitsap County in Port Orchard. I'm here today not just as a property owner, but as a steward of our rural heritage and provider of community programs that serve the youth, families, and those seeking a meaningful connection and purpose with our equine partners. The proposed zoning and code changes threaten to make it nearly impossible for many of us to continue operating. Setback requirements will eliminate viable space and drastically reduce usable land, especially when critical areas are factored in. How will these changes affect the future resale value of our equestrian-based properties? That is a very big concern. The previous allowances on animal density, that change alone will effectively shut down horse boarding regardless of how much land we have or how well it is managed. Let's not forget the cost and time of CUPs and farm plans, as well as any neighbor. Our neighbors will have the power to shut us down with one complaint. This is not a sustainable thing for us. Many of us are not hobbyists. This is our livelihood, and every time the rules change, we're forced to defend it again and again, and this keeps happening. These proposals don't just affect us and our farms. They impact youth programs, 4-H, therapeutic riding, animal rescues, and the very fabric of Kitsap's rural community. I ask you, will these changes make our county better? Or will they slowly erase the agriculture and equestrian heritage we've all worked so hard to preserve? It means a lot to us. Please reconsider these amendments. Please. Find a balanced solution that protects our rural way of life without real sacrifice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next.
My name is Annie Braddock, and I'm a lifelong equestrian, a nurse, a mom of two horse-crazy daughters, a horse owner of over 20 years. I have boarded my horse outside of Paulsbow for nearly 16 years, and the barn is our second home. It is where my children are learning horsemanship and responsibility. We've made lifelong friends, and where I know my horse is safe and well cared for by an expert. I am also the owner of a residential property in Kitsap County that we're currently developing, and these restrictions will severely impact us. I want to speak today about one part of the proposed equestrian code that is especially troubling, which is the hours of operation, restriction limiting activity at barns to the hours of 8 a.m. through 7 p.m. Like a lot of things in this code, there is no accompanying definition for hours of operation, leaving it ambiguous. As written, this does not reflect the reality of horse care, and it is not conducive to horse or livestock health. Horses should be fed 3, sometimes 4 times a day, for example, 6 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m., with an additional meal around 10 p.m. if needed. Provided this care, amongst other things, prevents gastric ulcers and colic. Colic is the leading cause of death in horses. Night checks are also best practices. They allow barn owners or managers to spot horses in distress. Under the proposed rules, one would assume an owner or veterinarian wouldn't be able to conduct any type of activity after 7 p.m. Horses are still included in the definition of livestock under Kitsap County Agricultural Code, yet this proposal places restrictions and permit requirements on horses that do not apply to other livestock. For example, none of these new setbacks or hours of operation rules apply to cattle owners. Best practice for cattle is to feed at dawn and dusk outside of the proposed 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. window. Feeding and caring for pigs, goats, cows, llamas, and other livestock involves many of the same activities as caring for horses, yet only horses are being targeted. It is unclear why equestrians are being treated differently from other livestock owners. This proposal does not have the wellness and safety of horses in mind. It is unworkable for horse owners, boarding barns, and veterinarians, and others in the horse industry, and it puts horses and human safety at risk. I urge you to reject or significantly revise this code so that Kitsap Equestrian Community can continue to provide safe, responsible care for our beloved horses. Thank you for your time.
Hello, my name's Joanne Corey. Thank you, Commissioners and Health, Heather and Scott. I have compassion and passion for how animals are treated, neighbors are respected. Most of the single families, we have 14 on our road, and most of them have lived there for 20 years, my husband for 47. I agree with the narrowing the scope of accessory use of horse boarding. The lack of defined parameters allows one facility to have three commercial businesses: commercial warehousing, distribution, retail sales of feed and forage and other products not grown on the land, 100% imported, sales events choking our single lane road of safety and the ability to use our ingress and egress. Living in a RR zone in Kitsap, having privately owned horses on the property does not automatically classify your property as having primary agricultural use. Only when applying for a current use taxation program, establishing yourself as a commercial agriculture activity, or officially recognized by the DCD. Washington Right to Farm Act, full statement under conditions and activities states, They must be established prior to surrounding non-agriculture and non-forestry. It also states that such practices must be good to warrant protection. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Colin Corey. Thank you to the Planning Commission and DCD staff for all the effort you've put into the Year of the Rural. So upon review of the 60% draft, I support the clarifications of standards and responsibilities added to the Agricultural Code. I think equestrian-centered standards need more refinement, especially on the permit requirements. However, most of the changes are common sense controls to avoid conflicts between commercial use of property and residential use of surrounding neighbors' property. Equine facilities are complicated. None of them are the same. They all require a lot of work and effort to be efficient and profitable. Having clear, reasonable, and easy to understand codes and guidance is essential to providing protection for the facility owners, the clients, the neighbors, and the county. The current code of equine centers being permitted use in all rural zones with almost no requirements except best management practices has resulted in a lot of confusion among the commercial owners and the residential owners. Commercial owners seem to have no responsibilities, and neighboring owners seem to have no rights. Codes need to remedy the conflicts in a sensible and fair way. The formation of the Equestrian Facility Working Group is a step forward in getting the best information to help guide the decisions that are being made. It is my hope that these code changes will benefit all citizens affected. Thank you.
If you don't mind, we've got a lot of people to go through. Can we hold the applause and boos to a minimum? Thank you. Next, please.
I'm Dale Bourgeois, or Duke, as well known. I've lived in Kitsap County for 63 years and been horsing with horses for 47. Enjoy riding them and taking care of them. I'm going to be brief. This zoning thing will shut down, the way I read it, this document will shut down most horse things if they so desire in the county to check your the way you're doing it. And all the meetings and all the way all the use can make a difference. If everybody here wants a change, they should let the county commissioners know. Some of the figures that I have come and just quickly estimated on are round figures is just the equestrian facilities that board horses is worth about $25 million a year to Kitsap County. There's another $30 million that accounts for what the people go spend on horses and stuff like that. And everybody has to remember, everything you buy online is taxed back to your code. So if you buy something in Utah or something like that, it all goes to Kitsap County if you got one of our zip codes. And the last thing I say is the code, when I first read it, it really opened my eyes, and everybody can say what they want about the code, but eventually, the way I've seen government run and all these restrictions, you will eventually shut down the horse facilities in Kitsap County. And that's all I have to say.
Next slide.
Mr. Chair, point of order. While I appreciate people's excitement or passion, we like to hold ourselves to a standard, a higher standard, one that the Board of County Commissioners also embraced, which is we don't applaud after speakers and we don't boo speakers. We'd like to maintain that decorum as is expected of us. So please consider that. Thank you in advance.
Next five.
All right, the next five attendees are Amanda Gelderman, Paula Scott, Scott Hall, Will Watson, and Blake Baker. Please come to the front of the room.
My name is Amanda Gelderman. I'm the owner of Evolution Equestrian and Sandemar Farm in Paulsbo. We have been here since 1991. Anyone who knows me knows that when I get passionate about something, I write poetry, so that's what I'm going to do today. I want to use my time to try and convey why barns should be appreciated and protected and not pushed out into extinction. Here's to the barns I love so much and to the lives that I have seen them touch. They are more than just four walls and a roof, and those you find inside are the proof. For me, my barn holds many of my tears, and it's where I learned how to conquer my fears. It's where I learned how to be strong and where I know I'll always belong. You can see the history when you look at its walls of horses from the past I remember who lived in those stalls. The barn is a place you can escape from life, get away from the stress and away from the strife. It's the smiles and the dirt on the boots, the friendships made with unshakable roots. It's the lessons learned, the results earned. It's the luxury of taking things at your own pace and the joys and peace on everyone's face, the ability to leave your stress at the door and to take a deep breath and worry no more. It's both the bigger picture and each moment in time that teach us, help us, and even make us rhyme. It's a place where kids don't have to rush to grow up, where they can giggle and laugh and make best friends with a pup. The barns are a place of hope, a place of happiness to help you cope. The world right now is a very scary place. It's one that's even hard for adults to face. Kids need places like barns to go, where they're protected from this world's dark shadow. Kids need sunshine, grass, and fresh air to run in the woods and get dirt in their hair, to learn who they are and who they want to be, to get out in front from in front of a screen or TV. A barn is a place you can forget what makes you sad and surround yourself with animals and people who will make you glad. The barn makes you strong and teaches you how to get up and keep your smile. It teaches you you can struggle and still make it through each and every trial. These barns have seen heartache and they have seen pain, and they're where people learn to get up and try again. A barn is more than just where riding is taught. Humility, compassion, honesty, horsemanship, I know it's a lot. For everyone who walks in with stars in their eyes, they are a place where you can reach for the skies. So here's to the barns I love so much and to the lives I hope they will still be able to touch. Thank you.
Next.
Initially, thank you for the time tonight. As you can see, this is an issue that is cared about deeply by large numbers of citizens, voters, and taxpayers in this county. My name is Will Watson, and I live in Paulsbo. I'm a Kitsap resident, property owner, and with my wife and daughters, part of a horse-owning family that is directly affected by these proposed code changes. In addition to having boarded in Kitsap County for 16 years, earlier this year, we purchased a rural residential property to build our home and retire our horse on. We expected that the county would continue to treat equestrian use consistently with other agriculture uses and consistent with the long-stated focus on preserving Kitsap rural character. Instead, this proposed change singles out equestrians with confusing and contradictory provisions to the detriment of the community, local business, and the rural character of Kitsap County as a whole. Today, I want to talk about some specific concerns around the process, quality, and compatibility of the proposed changes. First, the process. While the Agricultural Working Group has been meeting for over a year, the equestrian group was only created this month after the development and the release of the proposed changes. That imbalance and lack of representation produced a draft that feels rushed and unvetted. I want to be clear, my experience with Kitsap County has actually been very positive and helpful, finding that staff are engaging and genuinely interested in public input. That's why this process feels so out of step with the way Kitsap County usually works and why it undermines the confidence in this product. Second, quality. The agricultural draft and the equestrian draft propose two differing and conflicting edits of the key definition of agricultural use primary, despite being advanced at the same time. Similarly, updates to livestock and dairy management are only appear in the equestrian draft, where they clearly do not belong. These are not small drafting errors. They highlight a fundamental problem with how these changes were developed and reviewed. Finally, compatibility. The proposed requirement in 17.455075E, where facilities are required to prove they do not create a nuisance, directly conflicts with Kitsap County Code 17455100 and Washington State's Right to Farm Act, which states that agri-corporations that follow best practices are by law considered not nuisances. For these reasons, I urge you not to adopt the equestrian draft as written. At a minimum, the process should be paused, and a properly convened equestrian working group equal in scope to the agricultural group should be consulted on code updates. Kitsap deserves a code that is practical, equitable, and reflective of its rural character. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Paula Scott, and I live in Silverdale, Washington. I appreciate the hard work and the time and all the efforts that have been put into the year of the rural process. I support the proposed code changes for equestrian center standards and regulations. I support returning horse boarding facilities to the conditional use process. My support is because not all neighborhoods or properties in the RR zone are compatible with equestrian facilities. Properties with close neighbors on smaller lots and sharing a one-lane private road may not be the best choice for a commercial operation. The conditional use process would allow neighboring property owners to ask questions related to the size of the intended facility and how potential negative impacts such as runoff, dust, odor, and congestion might be mitigated. Concerns over increased traffic, damage to private roads by increased traffic volumes and heavy vehicles need to be expressed in a public process. Additionally, property owners that use the road for their ingress and egress need to know who will be responsible for damage to the private road if it is overburdened by the commercial facility. I support agriculture. I support horse boarding facilities. I also support the right for all property owners to enjoy their property. The conditional use process for new facilities protects the rights of the property owners that did not purchase property located to a concurrent commercial facility. And the process protects both the facility and the neighboring property owners should the facility propose expansion or additional commercial use. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Scott Hall, and I reside in Olalla. And I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the Kitsap Community and Agriculture Alliance. We have an active membership of 461 farms and persons and work with other agricultural organizations to support our local agricultural community. KCAA would like to focus on two issues of special significance to those involved in agricultural pursuits in Kitsap County. The first of these is that Kitsap County still has not arrived at a workable way to provide any level of regulatory protection for any land in Kitsap County so that some land may be dedicated to long-term use of agricultural land. With the development pressures in the on county lands, this is of utmost importance. The second of these is that the county has promised an agricultural advisory council for years, and now is the time to hold the county's feet to the fire to make sure that the agricultural advisory council is created with the purpose of advising the county, and that funding is allocated as a part and for a part-time staff person to coordinate the activities. So this wording of the 60% document needs to reflect those priorities. More specifically, an effective agriculture advisory council needs to be able to advise the county on matters of concerns of the agricultural community. This will include code revisions and land use policies. An effective agriculture advisory council needs to have adequate support staffing from the county and a meeting schedule that allows for a timely examination and recommendations of the issues impacting agriculture. An effective agriculture advisory council needs to have representative membership from the agricultural community, which will include equestrians. In sum, you have in front of you, as a planning commission, a proposal from the county on an agricultural advisory council, and we're hoping, the KCA is hoping, that the planning commission will amplify what we are suggesting needs to happen.
Blake Baker. Technically Paulsville, Washington. I'd call it more Brownsville. It's got that arm leg over there. My comments will be brief today. There are several folks who have said these things much better than I can. Just want to point out a couple things that may have flown under the radar. The first being, I know there was consideration given by Heather to the legacy lots and the issues we'd face with setbacks on those lots. I'd just like to point out we do live in a county of irregular-shaped lots everywhere. And it's not just the legacy lots facing those issues. My wife and I recently came into just over 6 acres where we've begun construction of our future home, and on that lot had hoped to eventually place a barn to bring our horses home to live with us. Given the current setback restrictions, in the event that we looked to, you know, board out one of those stalls, on over 6 acres of property, I do not have a single 200-foot setback from any property line. When you combine that with the visual screening requirements and a highway that passes by quite elevated over the land, it really would shut down almost every option for us to expand a small business that we've been looking to start up. Overall, with regards to the equestrian center standards and regulations, I would strongly encourage everyone here to summarily reject these changes and work with this equestrian community to, one, identify issues that actually exist and implementable ways to resolve them. This, as it exists today, is not effective, it doesn't solve a problem, and it ignores the economic impacts, which I think we have yet to assess what would, you know, come from these proposed code changes. It's not just the training facilities, it's not just the borders. It's the farriers, the vets, the body workers, the chiropractors, everybody who benefits from this, you know, strong economic pillar of equestrian activity in Kitsap County. So please reject these changes, take the time to do it right, and you've got a whole community behind you to support you. Thank you.
Can we please hold down the applause? We've got lots of people to get through to tonight. Next five.
All right, the next five attendees will be Will Thompson, Jesse Olson, Eric Olson, Anna Dukes, and Mikey Contino.
Who's first?
I was Jesse. There was somebody right before me. Do we have a Will Thompson here? Going once? Okay.
Who's first?
I'll go. Hi. Hi, I'm Jesse Olson. I've been a lifelong equestrian. I am the vice president of the Lower Puget Sound Dressage Club, which is in 501c3 in Kitsap County. We run horse shows from May to September in person. We also do online shows for the equestrian community, and we do a lot of education. I'm a trainer. My brother-in-law, who couldn't be here tonight, owns three equestrian centers, all in Port Orchard, Washington. I'm the head trainer at one of them. There's going to be a lot of people talking about the kids, which are super important. We have a great group here for that. I actually wanted to talk about, and excuse my French, my badass group of older ladies that I train who are between 60 and 80 years old. I have two 80-year-old ladies that ride. They could never have horses on their own property. If they have property, one of them even has a little barn and an arena. They physically cannot do that care, and so boarding facilities are incredibly important. And even if the boarding facilities, if these changed to where there wouldn't be as many restrictions and they could stay open, if some of these permits continue, trainers will have a big issue being on the facilities. Clinicians who I bring in for some of these cool ladies, and some of these are body working clinicians for them to learn how to ride better or work their body. There will be a health and mental impact on this if boarders or boarding barns or trainers cannot be there. We are a family. Some of them, they don't have any family in this state. They don't have any family left. And we are their family, and the barns are their family. And I am here to help represent that in this, and I would like that to be strongly considered because they are my family. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Eric Olson. I'm married to the woman that just came up here. Just a few things to note on here. The manure and runoff provision in this is already regulated through the Conservation District, the farm plans, and the health district drinking water protections. If enforcement here is not the issue at all. Like, that's what's going on, is there isn't enough enforcement for the laws that are already on the books for what is in place right now. Odor, dust, and noise is already prohibited under county nuisance laws. Forcing barns to prove they won't be a nuisance is subjective, arbitrary, and completely unnecessary. The setbacks, as the last gentleman that was up here already noted, it is completely arbitrary. There is no science base for this whatsoever. It just seems like it is pulled out of the air and serves no purpose other than to force out facilities. Permits. Equestrian uses are already classified as agriculture. Splitting boarding only and boarding plus lessons doesn't reduce impacts. It just forces small barns into costly commercial level permits. Screening rules, again, like was mentioned, parking, manure, and equipment storage already managed. Extra screening is about appearances, not safety. Agricultural is rural character. So the bottom line of this is that every issue here is already addressed in existing law. It isn't about clarity or protection, it's duplication. Arbitrary restrictions and excessive fees that punish small barns while larger facilities can adapt, but not very well. The county's fact sheet that was handed out earlier is just pure spin. Grandfathering isn't protection, it's a slow phase out. Public meetings are required by law, but the bare minimum has been done here so far, and it's not proof of listening, and clarity really means more permits and paperwork. This proposal doesn't fix problems, it makes them worse. No part of this should be allowed at all. The only correct action here is to enforce the laws we already have and not bury rural residents under spurious new regulations. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Anna Dukes, and I have lived and boarded my horses here in Kitsap County for 17 years. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been busy organizing the Save Our Stables movement. The first question that everyone asks me is, how did we get here? So I searched through all the project documents, looking for the term horse, equine, equestrian. There are only 3 references, besides the 19 in the code changes. The February 14th Community Engagement Plan includes an equestrian working group that, quote, may receive direct contact from the county. Did anyone here get contacted by the county? The 30% draft from June lists, quote, equine riding lessons and training clinics as an accessory use, with no changes from the definitions from the 2016 Agricultural Code. The third reference is in the South Kitsap Community Workshop in June, where it was, quote, emphasized rural traditions such as horseback riding. So again, how did we get here? At the August 5th Planning Commission briefing with this group of commissioners, the county stated, quote, one more that continues to go between the active and the future has to do with land use compatibility and the agricultural code. We continue to look at it. I'm not sure where it's going to land. I can only assume that this was related to the equestrian code because it was not explicitly stated or mentioned anywhere else. So how did we get from the August 15th maybe to the September 2nd full rewrite of the equestrian code? No matter how we got here, what's more important to me is where we're going. I'm willing to forgive the county for the lack of engagement we've experienced. As a show of good faith, I asked the county to remove the equestrian code changes from the Year of the Rural package so we can start over together. That's not too much to ask, especially considering this was just a maybe 1 month ago. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing us to speak and share our thoughts about this. I'm Mickey Centeno from Central Kitsap, and I'm very familiar with setbacks. I live on a property that we host our own beaver, and we have a salmon creek that runs through it. We also have cougar and bear. I wanted to touch on some things that are included in this code projection, and I think it is good to look at the codes and to decide if they fit, but there are some things that I don't think fit. One of them talks about having horses if you're just a private owner as an accessory. Most people who get horses get the horse first and then decide where they're going to put them, and then they get their trailer and so on. When you're looking for land, you're looking for it because this is your lifestyle. The horse is not an accessory, as you've heard from other people. We live in a unique area. We are bounded by fjords, salmon creeks, lakes, wetlands, terrain, and current property lines. My property is a bowl and has a really unique shape. My neighbor's property is a bow tie with the narrow piece being only 50 yards wide. I don't know where he gets to put his things. He doesn't have a horse, though. Another point on, so I think as we need to look at these configurations that we not set in these set in concrete setbacks, but to look at what we're actually trying to accomplish here. There's a piece in there about hiding your manure bins. Well, horses eat quality grass, and what comes out that other end is actually a desirable product that people want to pay money for. It's the same thing you scrape off the bottom of your lawnmower. So it's essentially a compost bin that we're putting this in. I don't think we regulate any other compost bins. The setbacks required for your compost don't take into, for your manure bin, don't take into consideration that this isn't dog do that we pick up in a little bag. This is something that we pick up in a wheelbarrow. You need to be able to dump your wheelbarrow and then empty your bin using a tractor. So for those of us, most of us who have used the conservation district to set up these manure bins, they're accessible to the road and they're not unsightly. My neighbors don't even know what mine is. Lastly, my involvement with the horse community, we're involved in Backcountry Horsemen of Washington and of America, which keeps trails open for public use as well as equine. We were very active in the evacuation of the Toonerville fire. We kept several horses on our property for well over a week. We have a 4-H club, and of all of the kids in our club, only one actually owns their horse. So this would very much impact them. And lastly, one of the comments was limiting impact to neighbors. I would just have to ask, which neighbors are we considering? Are we considering both of us or just the new ones that are coming in and complaining? Thank you.
All right, well, the next five attendees, please come up. Ignacio Casarudo, Tina Meekins, Cherry Walno, Helen Jones, and Geraldine Wilson Kalsa.
All right, good evening. My name is Ignacio Cavazzuto. I'm a United States Army combat veteran. I have been suffering from PTSD for about 20 years. I have been through every therapy program VA offers. I have taken every medication that they offer. And the only thing in the last 20 years that I've run into that has helped me are three of our local barns. By allowing me to spend time with their horses, they helped me find my wife. I now have horses. I'm telling you this because I have spent the last, 18 years in Kitsap County building programs for veterans. I stood in this room thanking the commissioners for helping me build the Veterans Garden Program, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. I have done youth programs in this county. I have been working to help people for a very long time, and I want you to know that my dream is to be able to run an equine therapy service on my property. My property, my father-in-law's property, is 6 acres on the Hood Canal, and of those 6 acres, 2.5 of them are conservation district, and we will die protecting that area. That we are so proud to be taking care of our rural area. We would not mess with it. We don't mess with it. We also have a wooded area that we're not going to mess with. The setback regulations would make it literally impossible for me to run any commercial anything on my property. And I'm not trying to build anything huge. I'm maybe board another horse to help with the funding, get my license to be able to bring people out, put them on horses, get them around the horses. But none of these things that are being proposed are progressive. They are punitive based on one road in this county and one person with connections abusing the system. This is abuse of the system. As you've heard, there are already laws that control this. Please consider that. Please think about putting together a real board to spend the time to do this right. Thank you.
Good evening. My name's Helen Jones, and I live in Port Orchard. I'm a now retired resource planner of 18 years for the Kitsap Conservation District. I've already submitted written comment with references to specific aspects of the proposed equestrian facilities code. Tonight, I'm speaking as the owner of horses and a mini donkey. I'm speaking as someone who cares about the good, hardworking, and generous-hearted people of the Kitsap horse community. If you pass this code as it's proposed today, with 200-foot setbacks, increased permit requirements, amongst other things, there will be many broken hearts and dashed dreams. Older folks who spent decades creating wonderful facilities for horses to thrive in, for friends, family, and customers to enjoy, who intended to pass these wonderful places down to their children or sell them to someone new who will appreciate them and use them as they've been created to be used. Newly arrived transplants with dreams of opening a boarding stable, a rescue, a training facility, offering clinics and shows. Not being retroactive doesn't change the potential negative consequences of these extreme and ill-informed and seemingly vindicative code changes. Look at yourselves. Look at us. We are from all walks of life with one thing in common, and we will fight for that one thing with all of our hearts. Please do not ruin what we have all worked so hard to create. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tina Meekins. I founded the Whole Horse Place. It's a nonprofit in Port Orchard. I want to express my concern how the proposed codes treat both existing and future barns and programs. The county says we are grandfathered in unless we become a nuisance, but the proposal requires applicants to prove that odor, dust, noise, and drainage do not constitute a nuisance, yet there is no clear definition of what a nuisance actually is beyond that. So this leaves every facility now and in the future vulnerable to subjective complaints and shifting standards. I urge the county to provide clear written definitions and reliable guarantees for grandfathered protection so that responsible barns and programs are not put at risk by vague or loosely interpreted language. And also, I wanted to note that it's important for us especially to have the flexibility, our facility, to evolve as we need it. I mean, sometimes we don't have enough money to buy hay the next month, and because we don't charge people. So it's important that if somebody calls wanting to do a special family event or a birthday party and it's going to buy hay for 2 weeks, that I'm allowed to do that. And I can't do that if I have to go get an extra permit to do that. We've done science fairs in the past where, oh, this is a great idea, and we brought together, I don't know, 50 kids and had vets and people and everybody in there. We were doing parasites under microscopes, looking for worms and things like that. If I had to get a permit for that, I mean, I'll just shut down. I'll find homes for, well, they're too old. So you know what's going to happen to them. They're all going to go to heaven. So, because we have an old horse place. But the point is I would like to really note that the grandfathering in doesn't make me feel safe at all. And also that I think our barns should have the right and the flexibility to evolve as needed without getting permits. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Cherie Walno. I am going to say I appreciate land management coming out and teaching me. The opportunity was great. They set up a manure structure. I think they are enough as far as oversight of the facilities. What I noticed is coming in town, it's not the facilities. The facilities that are moving by the apartments, but the apartments moving by the facilities of the horses. And so when we have the issue of noise or anything else like that, that there's complaints, it's you guys are moving near us. We're not moving near you. So what I'd like to say is 4,200 pounds of human waste come out of one apartment per year. Okay? Now, you get that by 100 apartments, that's 2,1500 pounds of human waste. We are hurting our land and our county by building, overbuilding. So the horses don't make that much weight. They don't do 4,000 pounds, one horse. So I would like you to consider land management coming in and helping these facilities that need help, because it's been a great experience for me. So I appreciate you all here, and I think we do need that horse board. And my neighbor, she moved next to me, she's renting, and she's telling me my horse stinks, when it's really the neighbor next door to me. It's her goats. But anyway, so thank you. Good evening, and thank you for providing this for all of us. My name is Jerry Wilson Calsa. I have spent my career as a school counselor in Tacoma. I earned my MA at PLU, and I'm here tonight as a mental health advocate, not just for myself, not just for my barn, but for my neighbors, for the citizens of this county. Equine therapy, it's huge. I worked as a crisis counselor in the school district in Tacoma. I facilitated all different kinds of avenues to help my students succeed and to be able to grow and develop in their well-being. Moving here was not a happenstance. It was a plan. I grew up riding horses. We moved here so that I could have a horse to ride in retirement. I have a barn community. I have seen what has happened to the youth that I've worked with, and I compare that to the city youth. There's no comparison to what the city youth have as compared to our rural kids. Our rural kids have, they have barn kitties, they have dogs, they have the outdoors to look at. Imagine climbing on a 900-pound, 1,000-pound animal, and it does what you want it to do. Think how empowering that is for a child. And think what it does for anyone. We heard from a veteran and what it's done for him. It's amazing. Equine therapy is one of the most unequal types of therapy that you can have. I am here to say, take this all into consideration and look to the future. If we're grandfathered in, what about the future generations? One of the things, and I'm going to take just one moment here because I think it's critical, critical. In 1999, we had Columbine. We hadn't had anything like that anywhere in the United States before that. When I was working for the school district, not only did we do fire drills, we did shooting, active shooter drills. Those are the things that our kids are dealing with. We have to take care of our kids that are growing up now. We have to take care of our veterans. We have to take care of the senior citizens, such as myself. Another one spoke about that. It gives me community. I am coached and trained by the people that work with me, and my brain is active, and I am empowered. I am growing old gracefully. So look to our citizens. Don't just look at the dollar. Look at our citizens and take good care of them, please, commissioners. Thank you.
Will the next five people please come up? Olivia Tobin, Rick Paulston, Joanna Ruco, Ruzauka, Stacy Marshall, and Cliff Peterson.
Who's first?
First up, Olivia Tobin.
Hello. My name is Olivia Tobin. I live in Paulsbo. I just want to say thank you to the Planning Commission for listening to all of us tonight. Many individuals have relayed concerns regarding the equestrian code as it is written and how that code would affect equestrian facilities. My concern is of a different nature and may apply to other Year of the Rule code updates as written. has consideration been given by Kitsap County in regards to the county permitting office that the administrative burden will greatly increase as it relates to the various permits required in the draft equestrian code as written, to include shows, clinics, and competitions? Many equestrian facilities in Kitsap County have multiple clinics, shows, and competitions per year. It is my understanding that individuals employed in the permitting office make anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000 a year, maybe more. Due to the number of permits I anticipate the permitting office to receive, based on the draft code as written, I anticipate 1 to 2 additional employees will be needed to hire to combat the upcoming administrative burden the permitting office will see with the increased number of permits required to be reviewed for equestrian facilities. Has Kitsap County included additional FTEs in its 2026 staffing plan, and is the county ready to pay at maximum $100,000 to $160,000 per year for these additional FTEs to facilitate the increase in permits needed per year? This additional cost is not inclusive of any additional labor hours that would be needed to visit these equestrian facilities to review the permit compliance. I encourage the county to consider the financial and administrative burden these additional codes will bring if enacted. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rick Polston. I own a horse boarding facility in Port Orchard. So it's been routinely said that Kitsap County is the natural side of Puget Sound, and it's been described as a rare gem due to the difference in cultures, you know, all kinds of things that are happening, including equestrian activities. One thing to note about these proposed changes, the United States Right to Farm Act specifically notes 4 things that should not be applied to horse boarding. One is a 200-foot setback, and that's due to the fact that properties are so irregularly formed, right? Two is the placement of manure, and part of that is because if you tell somebody exactly where to place manure, you're not taking into account the water runoff, you know, any kind of actual things that are on the property that will affect the water table. My property, actually, I've been told by the county, doesn't affect the water table at all, okay? 3 is the number of animals per actual acre. And the reason behind that is that was something for pasture. Most of us don't use pastures, right? Okay. And then 4 is the use of conditional use permits. And noted in this, these changes actually encompass all 4 of those, right? So that makes no sense to me. I'm not sure that there doesn't need to be some kind of changes, but I think that we should reject these changes right now and then actually allow us to help the community maintain the rural community in this area. Thank you so much for your time.
Hi there. Thank you, Heather and Scott, and the Planning Commission for the opportunity to be here today to speak. My name is Stacy Marshall. My husband and I have been business owners in Kitsap for 22 years. I'm also a flower grower, floral designer, commercial cut flower grower on our family's historic 15 acres outside of Paulsbo. I am also the public outreach lead for the Kitsap Farmland Preservation Coalition, and prior to this served on the board of Kitsap Fresh. I've been up here at this podium quite a few times the last couple of years, speaking on behalf of our group. 19 years ago, in 2006, an ag advisory group was recommended in the comprehensive plan by the Rural Policy Roundtable. Then, in 2023, this ag advisory council was supported by Commissioner Roloffs after our group's meeting with her at our farm in September 2023. She took this recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners thereafter. Since 2023, our group has made the request on multiple occasions for the seating of a diverse group of representatives from the ag community on a formal ag advisory council. I fully believe that this frustration present here tonight could have largely been mitigated if there was diverse representation from the ag community who were seated on this ag advisory council, who could share experiences, expertise, and insight. Livestock farmers, poultry farmers, produce farmers, flower farmers, horse, goat, sheep people, they all need to be heard and supported in a way that legitimizes every scale of effort for those growing for resiliency and economic benefit. Once again, our group's primary ask is to seat representatives on a diverse Ag Advisory Council, supported by county staff time, and get this process underway immediately. Thank you.
Cliff Peterson with Joy Equine in South Kitsap. I've been a resident of South Kitsap for 41 years now. Good evening, commissioners, members of the planning staff, the good citizens of Kitsap County, and a special shout out to the Joy Equine youth joining us tonight and many of the other young people here. Proud that you're all here witnessing this. Thank you for your service and for the work that you do to make this county a great place to live. At the outset, let me be clear. Any decision made in your minds tonight or in the months ahead must be filtered through the protections of both the Washington State Constitution and the United States Constitution. The inalienable rights of the citizens of Kitsap County must come first. Power resides with the people. Regardless of state mandates or local code revisions, we are demanding that the county officials stand to defend our constitutional property rights. Both constitutions clearly enshrine this protection. The 5th and 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and Article 1, Section 16 of the Washington State Constitution. When regulation imposes unsustainable financial burdens that strip citizens of the ability to use their land productively, that constitutes a taking under constitutional law. Even if disguised as zoning or code updates, Washington's Right to Farm Act further strengthens this principle by protecting agricultural activities from nuanced style regulations. These rights are sacred and God-given. They cannot be taken away or diminished by code, regulation, or ideology. The staff presentation confirmed that these proposed updates are tied to the Growth Management Act of 1990 and its subsequent mandates. Yet what brings them here today is not a broad public demand. It's clearly driven by a progressive, urban planning, geocentric ideology, and brought to the surface by as little as one citizen complaint, now threatened to reshape the rights of every equestrian and agricultural property owner. The county shall not assume an arbitrator's role to settle neighboring feuds at the expense of all citizens. We are not here to ask for permission, nor plea our case. We are here to defend what is already ours, guaranteed by the Constitution. More laws, more codes, and more regulation are never the solution. The true solution is deregulation, elimination of conflicting rules, and defense of the fundamental rights for a moral, ethical, and responsible citizenry. In closing, I reiterate my demand. The public servants of Kitsap County must use all means necessary to defend and protect the constitutional, God-given, inalienable right to property. I have submitted additional case law, nearly 1,000 petition signatures, and a heartfelt Joy Equine Youth Mentorship testimony for the record. Thank you for your time, and rest in peace, Charlie Kirk.
Chair, point of order.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ethan Crittenden. I am part of the Joy Equine crew and have been living in Kitsap County all my life. I am against this revision code. and I'm also not a fan of bureaucracy. But I do understand there are a lot of bureaucrats that do a lot of good. I love the constitutional republic that this nation was founded upon. I do not support the permits and revisions that are continuing to drain the money out of our pockets and drive businesses into the ground and out of our state. As a young man looking forward into the future, I want to have a farm. I want to have horses. But due to taxes and revisions and permits and all these other things, to me it seems near impossible. If the county really wanted to make some money, you guys would get rid of permits. You guys would lower taxes, because that gives us incentive to want to make money. And with lower taxes and everyone's making more profit, the taxes, sorry, have you heard of the Laffer curve? When there's more revenue in the people, there are more, with lower taxes, the government makes more money. Excuse my fact-checking, but that's the Laffer curve. And the Constitution gave me property rights, and I will do and as I please and see fit whatever I want to on my property. Period. If I want to run a business, I'm going to run a business. And the government can't do anything about it. I'm sorry. You can't restrict what the people want to do in a free nation. Thank you for your time.
Please, point of order.
Chair, point of order. Just a reminder to the audience, we have many people who have patiently waited to speak, especially online. So just a reminder of that 2-minute time mark for your comments. That would be greatly appreciated, just so we can also hear from the folks online.
Next five.
All right, the next five people, please come up. Ethan Crittenden, Jerry Wilson, Brian Telligen, Miles Patton, and Jill Seeley.
Good evening. My name is J.J. Wilson. My grandparents came to Kitsap County in the 1940s. They built the home that I live in now in 1968. And I bought it to carry on their legacy, to raise my family, to keep alive the rural way of life this county was built on. I have 4 kids of my own, and I want them to grow up with the same values I did: open space, hard work, and the lessons that come from living around animals. My property is in unincorporated rural Kitsap. It's not city land. This is country land. On our property, we have a barn and a riding arena. I keep 2 horses. My cousin keeps her 2 horses there as well. And her sons are active in high school rodeo and WASET. My 4 kids are growing up in the same environment. These programs and this lifestyle don't just teach kids how to ride. They teach teamwork, sportsmanship, horsemanship. They teach kids to care for animals every day, feeding, cleaning, grooming, putting in the work before the reward. They learn responsibility, patience, problem solving, and perseverance. They get pulled away from the screens and devices and into the real world, where they learn discipline, accountability, and the value of hard work. That's the kind of education that builds character. And it's happening right now on our property for my kids and my cousin's kids alike. And just as importantly, we love inviting friends and family to come ride with us. Sharing these experiences builds community, strengthens relationships, and passes along the same rural values that have been part of my family for generations. Let me be clear. Families like mine, we don't keep horses on small farms to make money. We do it because we love the lifestyle, because we love the animals, because it feeds the soul. Horses give people peace, purpose, and connection. They're therapeutic. They build confidence. They bring families together. They preserve rural heritage. They tie us to programs like WASET, 4-H, FFA, high school rodeo. They shape strong kids and future leaders. Most of all, they give us joy. This isn't business. This isn't profit. This is passion, therapy, and tradition. This is what makes rural Kitsap worth fighting for. And as the old saying goes, The way to become a millionaire owning horses is to start out a billionaire. But this proposal, this proposal would make all of that impossible. My property is 333 feet wide, 1,300 feet long, 10 acres. I'd have no place to put horse crap. I'd have no place to put it. So one of the things is, too, there's no space left for paddocks. There's no regulation.
That's... Sir, your time is up.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Brian Telligen. I live just outside Silverdale. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the proposed rule, section 17455075. This is the provision they're proposing to make equestrian facilities a conditional use. It says equestrian facilities may be permitted in rural residential zones, plural. And I just want to note the comprehensive plan has one rural residential designation. The zoning has one rural residential designation, and this has rural residential zones, plural, so I don't know what it means. I don't think this proposal actually identifies what zones equestrian facilities would somehow become a conditional use in. And normally when rural proposals are made, you actually have the use matrix updated. So people can understand, here's where it's going to apply, and here's where it's not going to. That wasn't provided. You'll see it in the child care code that's being proposed, not in this one. I heard a couple of people refer to this as a 60% rule. I don't think it's a 60% rule, because that sort of thing is the kind of thing that gets done, I think, pretty early in the process. So I also heard staff talk about Rule 2.0, like it's already being envisioned. There are going to be changes. I would draw your attention to Section 2108-100D of the Kitsap County Code. This is the section that talks about further public hearings if the commission, after hearing public comment, changes the rule proposal. But it sounds like that's already being done, right? The staff already knows there's going to be big changes or significant changes. I would hope so, because at least they would clarify where it's going to apply. So I think that this commission would be doing the public a service, at least by holding another hearing, incorporating people more before it gets sent to the Board of County Commissioners. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Miles Payton. I live in Port Orchard, and I am a youth in Kitsap County. And one thing I'd like to say is that our youth programs are increasingly depleting in Kitsap County and kind of in a more cultural stance in just how things are going now. And one thing that I like to do personally is I like to tell stories of what happens, and so I'm going to give my personal story. I struggled a lot connecting with community in youth stances and trying to fit in, and I really struggled with kind of the sports-based stuff and all of this, and really struggled finding that area, and so I had a lot of mental health issues developing and causing this, and it was just a really hard time for me. And so finding the horse community and being a part of these youth programs really helped me out and got me out of those sticky spots where it would have been kind of, in a way, a life or death situation. So I'd like to urge us to keep these youth programs, such as FFA, Pony Club, Washington High School Equestrian Team, USCA Young Riders, USEF Young Riders, because these are the important parts that we keep to keep our youth thriving and our youth living. So I'd like us to urge to keep these programs open and to keep our equestrian facilities open to help keep our youth living. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for having us this evening, letting us all speak. My name is Jill Seeley, and I am a barn owner in South Kitsap County. I own Clover Valley Riding Center since 1990, and it is a large boarding facility. We do training and horses and riders and have since that date. I just have a couple points I want to make, and one is that barns like that can coexist with their neighbors. I am on a private road, and there are many other houses on it, and we have no problems, have good neighbors. And when I first moved here, they didn't quite know what to do with that size barn, and I got something called an unrestricted land use permit, which I'm not even sure they do anymore. However, the setbacks that they did, reasonable setbacks at that time, and I worked with the conservation district on the manure bin and water drainage and all that, and we had some green belts around our property. And I think that this worked, and this was in 1990. This was out there. I know there are many other barn owners that I know in this audience or representatives of them, and their barns also work. And what I want to say is that a lot, when we ask ourselves why we were doing this, it came down to possibly only one barn having a problem, and it turned out it might actually be a civil problem, not something that the county should be in. And I think you've heard about that. You'll probably investigate that a little thoroughly now. The only other thing I want to say is that the idea of the conditional permits separating the boarding and the training or, you know, lessons or whatever people are doing with their horses is really would end things, because boarding does not make money. But as you've heard testimony from people, it is very central to a lot of what goes on. And what supports these facilities are the lessons they give, whether they're giving jumping lessons or helping veterans or teaching kids. That's what works. And that's pretty much what I want to say. Thank you.
All right, will the next five people please come up? I've got an Aaron who signed up, Beverly Parsons, Carol Price, Ewan Bow, and Christine Civiletti.
Good evening, commissioners and Kitsap County staff. My name is Christine Civiletti, and I live in South Kitsap. One of the things I wanted to talk about is, a lot of people have said it, what are the factors that led to the county concluding that the equine use is now warrant specific regulations? What data or community input supported this decision? Was it merely one complaint? I don't know. Then in part, as part of the proposed ordinance, they say there's a required farm plan, and that required farm plan must be approved by the Kitsap Conservation District. So I reached out to the Kitsap Conservation District, and I asked to try to get a better idea of how this would work. I was informed that they do not align with the language of the proposed ordinance, that they are non-regulatory, and they are voluntary, and they want to stay that way. So I'm not sure why that's into the proposed ordinance. Additionally, I would like to understand how the county determined that equestrian business owners should be required to attain a conditional use permit, whether it's a type 1 or a type 2. As we know, those permits can be very costly, sometimes upwards in the tens of thousands of dollars, because it's not just the permitting process, it's the road improvements, it's the geological surveys, it's the parking standards. It's everything that goes along with the hearing process, which you're very familiar with. And it seems to me that when you put these businesses through those processes, you're going to put them out of business, like many people have said. And lastly, if a private property owner decided to board a horse or two because they're supplementing their retirement or their regular income, why should that trigger a CUP? That doesn't seem appropriate. Also, if I cease using my land for a year, does that make me legal nonconforming still? Or can I pass it down to my grandson who absolutely loves my horses and thrives on them? Or do I lose that legal nonconforming use? Those are questions I'd like you to ask before you even look at approving any of these proposed changes. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Beverly Parsons from Hansville. Yesterday and this morning, I submitted some extensive written comments to you on behalf of the Kitsap Environmental Coalition Working Group related to the Year of the Rural. So I encourage you to read those details. Tonight, however, I'm here to speak as an individual to highlight 4 points that were addressed more fully in those comments. These are particularly important to me. Number one is the protection of wildlife corridors. A goal should be included to identify and map such corridors, identify key species of concerns to link their corridors to allow for movement of species. The second one is in the part about the resource lands and forestry, I would like to see the language of, quote, use of industrial standards, best management practice, and change that to best available science and technology. This would help to move forestry away from clear cutting toward better practices for the environment. Number three has to do with the reclassifications. I would request that no reclassifications be done for the three requests, and we have more details in that working group report. And finally, I would like to thank you and the staff for their ongoing attention to incorporating community involvement and voice. And in this regard, I would support the idea of considering pushing out the update of codes to accommodate continuing public voice. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Carol Price. I encourage the commissioners to deny all three of the proposed reclassifications, but tonight I'll concentrate on the one in my own neighborhood. My name is Carol Price, and I've lived on Pioneer Hill north of Paulsbo for the last 30 years. My home is 3 miles or so from the 12 Trees Industrial Park, which is adjacent to the Moran property. I urge the commissioners to deny application ID 58, Moran, reclassifying this property from rural residential to rural industrial. The county staff report is incomplete. The proposed rezone changes will give a huge economic benefit to the applicant while violating the state's Growth Management Act, the Clean Water Act, RCWs, and the Kitsap County ordinances. Even as the owners of this property are seeking this rezone, they also have an ongoing and active code enforcement on their adjacent property. In the event the commissioners grant this rezone, the decision is very likely to be reversed on appeal, potentially with costs assessed against the county. Why reward violation of the law? Deny this application for rezoning the Moran property to rural industrial. Thank you.
Will the next 5 attendees please come forward? Elizabeth Cueva, Cynthia Muirhead, Warren Johnson, Jason Head, and Leah Mundell.
Good evening. My name is Elizabeth Cuevas. I am here in part because of how it's affecting me directly today and how it's going to affect the future for myself, my family, including my parents and my children. I live in Kitsap County, and sitting through the presentation that was put together on PowerPoint, there was a focus on Growth Management Act. My question is, what is growth defined as, and what employment are you considering? This plan appears to be removing and limiting growth for equine businesses and instead causing them to cease to exist. Is that subtraction of business considered in your growth management projections? I would also like to say that I have personally witnessed the County of Kitsap abuse authority and attempt to remove a conditional use permit from a small business that is also in agricultural zoning that was without due process, and it caused them thousands and thousands of dollars in financial loss, in attorney fees, in fear and concern for losing their small business. I don't want to see anyone in this room or in Kitsap face that as well. I have read and seen ambiguous conditional use permits, which then also will cause a spark to revisit the permit if they were to come in and adjust the said permit. In addition to that, the growth is limited on all of these businesses when they have to then go and face conditional use permit fees and the actual opportunity of it being rejected if they want to expand their business in any way. The horses that my children are set to inherit and the property is then going to directly affect them and possibly putting them in a position where they won't be able to use it without all of this regulation. I ask you to consider the preserve property owners' rights and reconsider all of the proposed changes.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Warren Johnson. I've lived in Kitsap County almost 70 years. I've owned a horse facility. I currently work as a horse transporter. I travel all the western states, and I have previously gone nationwide. I go almost every day to a horse facility, pick one up, and go to another horse facility and drop them off. We've thrown around the terms tonight, rural heritage, rural culture. Actually, it's an abuse of the term to even throw it in here. Our rural heritage, I've lived here for 70 years. It is horses. It is farms. It is all of that. The setbacks are absurd. They're done by someone almost like the six-foot rule we had during COVID. Somebody made up six-foot rule. 200 feet is absurd. We don't have the length, you know, the flat, square pieces of property here. The people who will be affected are probably some of the most salt-of-the-earth, fantastic people that we have. They are our cultural, our rural heritage. The young kids, I see them every day. I see them in state after state. They are the good kids. They are the kids that are going to grow up to have families. They're going to pass on our values. They know how to work. They get up. They go to work. They haven't got a telephone in their hands. They know how to talk to people. They know how to interact with people. This is going to affect those people more than anyone else in this whole picture, and it's the people making the rules that aren't part of that community. They're bringing them in late to the dance. I encourage you, please, get those people involved and get realistic things implemented instead of these wide sweeping swaths of rules and regulations. Talk to those people. Don't hurt those people. Those are the valuable people. They're the salt of the earth of our community, and I strongly encourage you to get their input in this and give them a way to survive and act and have their businesses. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jason Head. I live in the Glenwood area of Kitsap County. I would like the council to think about how much business the horse industry brings into the county. If you know that there are two feed stores, one within Bremerton, one within Port Orchard, we moved from the rural areas to these downtown areas to do our shopping. We do not just stop at the feed store. We do not just stop at the hardware store. We stop at all adjacent stores that we need in that area. Also, I have a legacy property and a horse that moved onto my property as for one of my clients. Excuse me, I'm getting choked up. This horse has moved out of my program and moved into a help center in Spokane. This horse individually has stopped two people from committing suicide. This is the importance that these animals have to us. These individuals just met this horse. They had rarely worked with him, but just his energy brought them to the point where they wanted to live. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Cynthia Muirhead. I live in central Kitsap. I do have two horses that I board, so I'm not owner of a facility, but I use them. And it was hard to get boarding when I got here. It's very, very tight as far as trying to find some place to board. And these new rules and regulations are going to make it so hard for any new places to develop their property and become facilities. it's just going to be tighter and tighter. It will eventually just kill the horse industry here. More people are moving here. That means anyone who moves here can't bring their horse. There won't be any place to board. And the fewer horse owners there are, you know, the less the trails will be maintained, the less opportunities people will have, and it just will end it. And then we'll become less rural at the end of it. So I do hope that you urge them to rework rework the rules as they're written, because I don't understand what the rationale was behind the rules to begin with. You know, how were they determined? I think the new, you have a new group that gets together that has a more diverse background with a lot of equestrian representation, I'm sure it'll come out be better, but I would urge everyone to reject the ones that are written now. Thank you.
Well, the next attendees, please come forward. Oh.
Hi, thank you for the board, and thank you to all you people who have already spoke before me so eloquently. I am Dr. Leah Mundell. I'm a veterinarian, and I got my degree from Purdue University and did a residency at UC Davis. I've lived here in Kitsap County for 35 years and raised 5 kids. I work closely with many of the horse owners and have donated time and services for decades. I boarded horses. I now have horses on my own property, and given many geriatric horses a beautiful place to live out their retired life instead of, as one person said, going to heaven, which would be the alternative if some of these classifications are put into place. Many while giving children and PTSD victims a loving animal to hug, work with, which is essential to mental health. I have already been shut down by the current rules and codes for various projects I've tried to pursue. These arbitrary addendums are even more restrictive and confusing. For the most part, people and agriculture have coexisted for many years just fine. As a veterinarian, I can attest that equine care is essential 24/7. As many of you know, horses don't usually get sick from 9 to 5, and it's important for the safety of our owners and animals alike. The setbacks are unrealistic, with as it proposed. The majority of these farms and facilities have been here for years and provided a great deal of economics to the community and generated a livelihood and provided a great deal of economic to the community, create a livelihood of families and communities. These regulations would stifle and decimate many of the small farms and facilities alike. I guess I find it hard to believe that many of the new landowners have moved in are unaware of the agricultural or equine properties that are next to them and why they feel the need to move in and complain and uproot them. I am concerned also with what and why these rules have been, what they're trying to accomplish with this, and the lack of research to support the need for more redundant arbitrary codes. I'm also concerned that the members of the community making decisions are not equine agriculture experts, and appropriate experts should be consulted, and our constitutional rights should be preserved. They are sacred and God-given. Thank you.
Will the next attendees please come to the front of the room? Michelle Mundell, Michaeline Mannion, Pam Knudsen, Carrie Guthrie Whittian, and Marla Powers.
Sorry, I haven't been feeling well, but this is far too important not to have my voice heard. I am Rachel Mundell, and I couldn't walk until I was almost 2 years old. I have loose ligaments, joints, and tendons. I went for free physical therapy at a boarding facility, and it helped me get the strength to walk. My family tried to carry on that legacy for years, but was too expensive with current permits and red tape in this county. My dream to give back to community with PTSD services for veterans and trafficking victims, community outreach for youth, and to continue the legacy of Corey's Day on the Farm, with many of you will be acquainted with in this room. By including kids with special needs was cut short. I don't know if I'll ever be able to afford a ranch in Kitsap County, especially with these cruel and unjust laws passed. In addition, the strict hours are not reasonable or humane. The horses don't care about what hour it is. If they're going to be sick, it's going to be 3 a.m. And there is always going to need to be at least a couple of dozen people to help in an emergency. And also, if you're coming back from a show, it's better the animals just get home and get to be in their own beds, no matter what time it is. If you have an event, it needs to be open and early enough for fairly prepare the equine athletes for the welfare of that animal. Lastly, the setback structure and compost laws are unreasonable and not based in science or logic. People buy steer and horse manure at Home Depot, and it is not completely organic, definitely not local. It is literally just composted grass that we're talking about. These new rules, fines, and costs of permits would effectively force the sale of our small farms and ranches in our county. Please help our local food resources stay local. Horses and agriculture go hand in hand with food agriculture. Some horses are even used to plow the fields for more eco-friendly farming practices, and horse manure, after it's composted, is added back to the soil to eliminate the need for toxic chemicals in our land. Horses and humans are agriculture and have been for all of recorded human history. These new laws fly in the face of the Washington State Right to Farm Act. These come across as vindictive and underhanded, especially with the way it was added to this current code. Sorry. Please strike down all of these new laws. None of them are based in equine husbandry knowledge. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Michaeline Mannion. I have lived in a small Port Orchard city since 2005 when it was 5,000 population, and now 20 years later it's 19,000+. I've also lived in Nevada County around residential centers, and I enjoy recreation and family support, quote unquote, of horse care, trail riding, lessons, equestrian events, and therapeutic riding. And also enjoyed equestrian business and trail riding, and my son's therapeutic riding in Key Peninsula, Kitsap, and Southeast King County. I've enjoyed living in Kitsap for the last 20 years and finding the rural quality fantastic for, quote, mom, pop, unquote, businesses and family visitors. Who would like to a productive quasi-rural setting. I think we could work this out to keep Kitsap County incorporated rural enough that equestrian living and small businesses can subsist. Can subsist on and. At a church I attend in Port Orchard, it's part unincorporated, part city. They bring animals to an annual mini county fair, horses for kids to ride, llamas, etc. And I'm not exactly sure how some of the requirements in this would help it, but it would be horrible if something like that on part unincorporated, part city would destroy the possibility of these mini county fairs. I have worked at King County Environmental and Land Resources Department in the 1980s to 2000s, and I've seen the East King County be swallowed up gradually over those years. And they have some really good examples of, like, Kirkland Bellevue Bridle Trail Park and the horse areas around there.
Ma'am, can you wrap this up?
Pardon me?
Can you wrap this up?
Okay. Oh, sorry. And I would just like to hope that the children, the wounded, and the vulnerable would be able to continue to use the equestrian events and facilities so that they can aid in giving their gifts back to the communities. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Carrie Whitlow. I'm a long-term resident of Port Orchard. I've been here for the past 30 years. I'm going to read three passages from a book called The Complete Training of Horse and Rider by Eloise Podaisky, who is the director of the Spanish Riding School in Vienna, Austria, in the early 1900s to the mid-1900s. Equestrian art, perhaps more than any other, is closely related to the wisdom of life. Many of the same principles may be applied as a line of conduct to follow. The horse teaches us self-control, constancy, the ability to understand what goes on in the mind and feelings of another creature, qualities that are important throughout our lives. Moreover, from this relationship with this horse, the rider will learn that only kindness and mutual understanding will bring about achievements of the highest perfection. In ancient days, the art of riding was developed to a high degree, as may be seen from the book of the Greek statesman and general Xenophon. Written in 400 BC, even before Simon of Athens had written a thorough and detailed book about the art of riding, which Xenophon mentions repeatedly. Any horse expert who has studied the book of Xenophon written 2,400 years ago cannot fail to be impressed by the preciseness of the explanations and by his insight into the feelings of the horse. The historical development of riding reveals that the art is not confined to any special country. It flourishes where human beings dedicate themselves to horsemanship and know how to cultivate and develop its practice. Wherever there are experts and wherever such skill brings pleasure to those who love beauty, the art of riding is indeed international. It belongs to the civilized world, and it is the duty of every nation to preserve and foster it in the interest of culture. So what are you doing to foster this culture?
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Pam Knudsen, and a number of people have said some of the things I was going to say, so I've switched my topic a little bit, or my approach. I am a 64-year-old woman who started riding at a small barn here in Kitsap County 12 years ago. That barn would not exist underneath these conditions or underneath the new codes. I also have my grandson now taking classes at a barn that would not exist underneath these codes. From that point in time, it has now translated into me having owned four horses and me purchasing 40 acres worth of property in this county. If anybody, most equestrians will tell you that the least expensive part of horse ownership is the actual purchase of the horse. Since then, if I look at just this last year, I have supported over 15 small businesses in this county. I have supported over four nonprofits in this county, all related to my equestrian activities. I have built a community of people that are like-minded with me in terms of the care of the horse, and I have found across all types that the equestrian community builds resiliency, responsibility, empathy, and courage within the people that are riding. The changes I've seen in my grandsons has been immense. Learning how to control a horse that weighs easily 20 to 40 times their weight is an incredible thing for them to feel like they are actually have more say in what they're doing. They're also learning collaboration. They have to learn how to work with a creature that doesn't speak their language. It relays into everything else they do. They have to learn how to work along with other people. Limiting the equestrian community in this will affect all of those things. It will limit those opportunities for all of our kids, for our grown adults, as Jesse Olson said, for the badass older women that are doing some of this. That affects all of us. So I highly recommend you turn off these codes and do the due diligence to write them the way they should be written. Thank you.
Good evening, Planning Commission. My name is Marla Powers, and I am an environmental planner for the Port Gamble Squalum Tribe. A document published in July of 2011 called Tribal Treaty Rights at Risk states that habitat loss and degradation are the biggest contributors to the decline in the salmon resource. And this is still a factor 14 years later and shows no sign of slowing down. Preservation of rural character is preservation from development and therefore supports aspects of tribal treaty rights. The new element speaks to preservation of open space, natural landscapes, farmland, and vegetation. However, there's a disconnect between how the new element is going to be implemented. There's no changes in the zoning, no changes in density, and there's no changes in the land use element that change the growth projected to move into rural areas. The tribe would like the following information from staff. They would like the change in the number of acres of rural residential, rural protection, and rural wooded since the original comprehensive plan in 1998, so we can see the changes in development over time in Kitsap County. In the rural element, please acknowledge tribal land as a type of land ownership in the county. They are not insignificant. Cluster development is a rural development tool. However, this type of development looks and feels like urban development. Please do not use this tool as a rural development tool. Add provisions for discouragement of ADUs in rural areas. They're highly encouraged in urban growth areas and land rights, but not in rural areas. Add a goal, identify and protect natural areas contributing to increased aquifer recharge. And for wildlife corridors, this is a small peninsula that's isolated by water and development and faces critical ecological challenges without connections to larger mainland habitats. Climate change adds urgency to corridor development in isolated regions, and species must be able to shift their ranges and elevations as temperatures rise. Wildlife corridors serve as vital lifelines, allowing animals to move between habitat patches for breeding, foraging, and seasonal migration, and this genetic exchange prevents inbreeding depression and maintains the genetic diversity necessary for species adaptation and survival. And we look forward to working with Kitsap County and their staff on wildlife corridor development and policies and mapping. Thank you.
All right, will the next people please come forward? Lori Boren, Gail Race, and Sunny Merritt.
Hi, my name is Lori Boren, and I also have had a number of people covered what I was going to say, so I've changed it a little bit. There are a couple things, though, I do want to point out. I'm a retired school teacher as of last week of 32 years. Most of that has been in Seattle. A good chunk of that has been teaching kids with significant special needs, kids from homeless programs. I'll get to that, but one of the things I've gotten really good is looking at data and finding some really confusing things like what is the vacancy rate is for the county. There is a lot of confusion that I've seen written down. Spent the last day and a half trying to find out exactly what vacancy rate is. I found as much as 13% of the housing is not rented. I'm going to go with the average, which is from the Washington State Council of Environment Real Estate Studies, which says it's 8.03%. That is not a demonstration that we are crowded at all. That kind of shows that we're rural. In the same list, I looked at the list of counties that have an infinite number of rental apartments, et cetera, places. Those include, that are more than Kitsap County, a lot. King County, Pierce County, Snohomish County, Spokane County, Thurston County, and that's all I could fit on my little screen. But that's five of them. That's got a lot more than we have. Kitsap County is 3,810, by the way. Also the same piece. So I just wanted you guys to like be clear about what you're talking about, because what I've been hearing is confusing. Second, as a teacher, my first year teaching, I had a kid named Robbie. I'm going to take 30 seconds. You guys have to hear this. He was born addicted to heroin. He watched his mom murdered when he was in the year of my class. He watched his grandma's house burn down. He was in pieces. This is in downtown Seattle. Hard, 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 hard life. I got him to go to Camp Seattle 1 year. When we were walking down the pathway, he grabs a hold of my hand. He says, "Miss B, I'm afraid of the raccoons." That's all he was afraid of, in spite of all of that murder and destruction. There's something about that that was healing. He's still alive.
Hi, my name is Gail Racy, and we moved to Kitsap County in 1984, actually. So I've been living here for 40 years, raised two children, just recently transferred our family home, which the people before us had built from a kit. It's on unincorporated Kitsap County. I had a dream of a horse. And so I was able to finally get a horse when I turned 40. So I had a lot of learning curve. Been involved with the horse community, Silver Spurs, Kitsap Saddle Club, people that gave lessons, backcountry horsemen. So I understand horses. I got my first horse, and the person told me I got what I paid for. I didn't pay very much for the horse. But we got into more horses, and I bought my friend from Colorado. I bought her stallion, so I had a stallion for a while. So I understand the horses don't live on a 9-to-5 thing. They make a lot of noise. They neigh. They colic. I remember walking my horse at 3 in the morning, colicky. They don't, you know, you come back from a show, 10 o'clock at night, horse trailers rattle, horses neigh. Yes, it's if you have people in the community, it might be annoying. What I guess I'd really like to say is, living here for 40 years, I've just seen policy and changes. First, they took forestry land, the very nature of our county. They took our forestry land and they declassified it and said, well, Kitsap County can no longer grow trees. There's no more forestry land in Kitsap. I've seen that happen. So now it's kind of like, okay, now the agricultural lands are kind of coming under the attack. And you have people coming over here from various parts of the country, and Seattle into the rural. There's always been
much.
A disconnect. Yeah, I'll wrap it up. There's always been a disconnect between urban people and rural people. I don't know how to solve that, but I just hate to see the landscape of Kitsap County being changed by rulings and codes and excessive fees and things that make your dream of horse ownership or your dream of maybe having a stable, unaccessible. And just as you've heard previously, how horses really are beneficial to our health and welfare and our children and raising them. And thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Sunny Merritt. I'm drawn to Kitsap County for its rural heart, not the suburban changes creeping in. I speak today for the horse boarders of Kitsap, my chosen family, who rely on boarding facilities to keep our way of life alive. It's very difficult for me to talk about, and most of the people here only know me as happy and cheerful because once I got horses again as an adult, they really saved my life. But I'm a survivor of childhood abuse of the worst type, and and domestic violence, and I suffer from very severe PTSD and panic attacks. For nearly a decade, I've had no contact with my biological family. For years, I struggled, leaning on public systems that bore the cost of my pain. Then I found horses again as an adult. They saved my life. These boarding facilities, small, often barely profitable barns, gave me purpose, community, and a reason to keep going. Without them, I wouldn't be a horse owner today. It's not just me. Kids, veterans, and others find healing and confidence through horses. These barns are sanctuaries fostering mental health and rural traditions. Yet proposed rules like 200-foot paddock setbacks and 200-foot barn setbacks, stricter than King County, threaten to close these facilities. They push us towards suburbia, eroding the open fields and dusty trails we cherish. Kitsap's Year of the Rural promised to protect our way of life. Please honor that. Work with us to ease these restrictions, keep barns viable, and preserve our rural identity. Visit our facilities. Take a look at what the setbacks really mean and how far they actually are with your own eyes. See the kids mucking stalls, the adults finding peace. Protect these spaces for everyone who needs them. On behalf of Kitsap's borders, I ask, keep our county rural, keep our sanctuaries open. Thank you. And, you know, I see my time's out, but just on one last note, my psychiatrist, first and foremost, before prescribing me medications like that are addictive, when I get on the phone in an emergency, he tells me, get out to your horses. These people are my family. I don't have a family. Please take all of that for all of us that suffer greatly with mental health conditions that aren't our fault. Give us this help.
And that concludes our in-person sign-up sheet. Do we have any other in-person attendees who would like to comment at this time?
Can we start down the call-in list?
All right, we will now move on to virtual attendees. The next people, please get ready to speak. Martha Burke, Robin Salthouse, Deborah Gates, Dave Lawrence, and Beth. Martha Burke?
Yes. Hi, my name is Martha Burke, and I live in Suquamish. Yes, and I want to talk. I appreciate that you are doing this update to the Rural and Resource Land Chapter, and that references the importance of protecting wildlife corridors. Unfortunately, the details on what is needed is not fleshed out. It references the Kitsap Natural Resource Asset Management Program as an emerging strategy that aims to inventory, track, and set goals for prioritize, strategize, and implement actions for natural resource management across the county. However, how this program will actually be implemented is not laid out. The protection of wildlife corridors involves not just protection of streams and riparian areas. A goal should be included to identify and map such corridors, identifying key species of concern, and to link the corridors to allow for movement of species. There are obvious tools in addition to zoning that can be used to incentivize protection such corridors, including the purchase or transfer of development rights, conservation easement, and tax incentives, but the identification of the location of such corridors and assessment of their protection value is needed. One important component would be the completion of the rural lands analysis that maps these resources. A second would be creating and maintaining a database to track their status. With a more complete identification of priority wildlife corridors, it may be appropriate to review how and where the code should apply. It appears that the Parks Department is planning to conduct a wildlife utilization study of several parks over the next year. This approach could be expanded to include other potentially important areas to start to map wildlife corridors across the county. Incorporation of this approach to develop a more complete database should be part of the Year of Rural. Thank you.
Robin Salthouse.
Yes, Robin Salthouse, Kingston, Washington. Thank you for this opportunity. It's important that the Rural Resource Lands Chapter of the Comprehensive Plan remain a separate chapter. These goals, plans, and strategies are vital to guide, maintain, and protect the right balance of rural areas in Kitsap County for the health and well-being of natural resources, animals, and people. I appreciate the work that has been done to create this chapter and have the following suggestions and concerns. The draft does not provide enough specifics on enforcing policies. A specific schedule is needed to monitor project progress with initial, intermediate, and final project reviews. The chapter does not mention any consequences for violations. One, in order to understand critical areas and wildlife corridors, Kitsap County will need clear and detailed mapping and easy access to this data. Two, in rural development section, planning to perform a regularly updated rural lands analysis is a good strategy. Unfortunately, the secondary strategy in this section does not mention policy enforcement or violation consequences. Three, under forest lands, include community members in the proposed Forestry Advisory Council. Any county advisory council should have a full range of stakeholders. The work coming out of these groups impacts all people living in the county. Four, ensure land boundaries are maintained. Lack of enforcement will lead to sprawl and negate the efforts to maintain healthy rural areas. Five, the rural environment goals are important and should be given priority over policy categories to protect all living things. Clear and enforceable codes must be developed and referenced to show Kitsap County is serious about protecting our rural lands' futures. Please continue the good efforts to make improvements to the Rural Resources Lands Chapter. Thank you.
Deborah Gates.
My name is Deborah Gates. I've lived on 10 acres in North Kitsap County for 28 years. Our state legislature has set specific requirements for counties and cities who are developing and amending comprehensive land use plans. Sadly, Kitsap County is in violation of RCW 36.70A.140. Let me quote the legislature. These procedures shall provide for broad dissemination of proposals and alternatives, opportunity for written comments, public meetings, provision for open discussion, communication programs, information services, and consideration of and response to public comments. Lots of the speakers tonight would confirm that the public participation procedures set by our state legislature have been violated. The one public meeting was held on a holiday, September 11th, 2025. Both the governor of Washington and the president designated September 11th, 2025 as a day of remembrance and a day of service. Even our three commissioners signed a proclamation of September 11, 2025 as a holiday, a day of remembrance and service and honoring first responders. The county dishonored first responders around the USA by the county's selfish act that violated directives by the governor, the president, and even the three commissioners. I also urge the county to follow RCW 36-01-230, Cooperative Watershed Management and Comprehensive Plans. This state law directs counties to examine water supply, water quality, habitat protection, and management in developing comprehensive plans. Kitsap County is running out of water. Just ask residents who have dry wells, not just in the summer, but during other times of years. In 1986, and I'll finish up, King County examined the lack of future water supplies in an update to the comprehensive plan for Vashon Island. I personally chaired that land use committee. We held over 50 public meetings. The King County Council unanimously approved protections for aquifers based on a hydrogeological study. Surely Kitsap can follow the model of King County from over 30 years ago. Thank you.
Dave Lawrence. Dave Lawrence, you're muted if you're trying to speak. We're unable to hear you. Please submit your written comments if you would like to make a public comment. You can send those to cjewel@kitsap.gov. Thank you. Beth?
Hi, this is Doug Heyman. Beth Nichols and I are sharing a computer, so I'm going to speak for 2 minutes and then she's going to speak. I'm making comment about the three reclassification requests, and I would ask that you deny all three of them. All three are incomplete in terms of staff reports. One has extensive non-compliance reports filed against it. They're heavily encumbered within critical areas, including one with a type F fish-bearing stream, you know, which takes the greatest degree of protection to restore salmon habitat. And I think most of these three have previously submitted and been denied. So there's no significant change that they've made to grant them approval after they've already been denied previously. Thanks. And then I'll pass it on to Beth.
Hello, this is Beth Nichols. I've lived in Indianola since 1986. And I would also like to speak to the reclass requests in the rural plan. Similar to Doug, I think all three should be denied. The staff report on each of them is incomplete. There are no summary of changes in the reclass request of what has changed since 2016 that should allow these three reclasses, which were previously denied. If anything, the critical areas ordinance has become more strong in response to environmental concerns. And in the three reclass requests, one has a type N stream, one has a type F stream, and there's high erosion concerns and encumberment by critical areas and buffers in the third. We ask that Kitsap County follow the Growth Management Act and the Critical Areas Ordinance and deny these three reclass requests. Thank you.
That concludes our virtual attendees.
Any other comments for the public hearing on rural? Last chance.
We have one more hand up virtually.
Yes, come forward.
If we are going to have a group that oversees and puts in information, how are they for the equine community, for the rural part, how are they picked? Are they just picked random, or that's probably a question. Or can we submit our names? So she was saying that, yeah, or somebody was saying we could have a group of people you guys can confer with on this that are from the horse community. So I was just wondering how that was going to be picked, those people. So I think it would be more your question.
That's a good question. We'll take that on board.
Okay. Thank you.
We have Natalie Venture online.
Hello.
Good evening. I have heard a lot of compelling testimony tonight. I was not able to attend due to work, but I was listening between caring for patients and on my drive home. I am moved for the pleas to help to preserve our way of life, our livelihoods, and for the welfare of our animals, domestic and wild. I ask those on the committee, are you moved? Are you convinced that the new proposed amendments regarding equestrian facilities will hurt our rural communities, our small businesses, and our health? If you are not moved, I ask you to reflect upon your thoughts and pre-formed opinions as to why. I cannot provide a logical rationale as to how these amendments will help preserve rural Kitsap. To me, this appears to be a land grab to chase out rural community and to set up an opportunity for a rezone to increase housing density. If this is not true, please prove it by reconsidering these proposed amendments, talking with us, and getting to know why we are so upset about this and why we are so concerned about these proposed changes. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. Aloha, I'm Christina Polston, and I have lived in Kitsap County for 10 years, moving from Hawaii. Yes, we left one paradise for another. My husband and I own, operate, and live on a horse boarding facility. In regards to the proposed changes to the agricultural guidelines, we've been told that we will be grandfathered as a boarding facility. But my concern is that there is no language in these changes that guarantee this. Also, will our lesson program, clinics, and shows also be grandfathered? Our barn provides an ohana, a family, for us, the horse owners that we are privileged to have at our facility. Our barn is a refuge, a safe place, a place to find peace, to find friends, and to learn. These changes will eliminate any new ohanas from being formed and limit the growth of the existing ones. You have heard a lot of testimony on how beneficial horses and the boarding environment are to the citizens of Kitsap County, and the testimony outlining how these changes are unrealistic and will be detrimental to our way of life. Mahalo for your consideration revoking these changes.
Last chance. Come forward.
Hi, my name is Valerie Dodd. I have 7 acres out in Seebeck area. I guess what I'm with these change. Okay, so our facility has trained, given lessons, done clinics, we've done play days. You know, we've pretty much had a lot of fun. Been there for 36 years. And with these changes that I keep hearing and the legacy property and everything else, I sit there and I go, I invested all this time and money into my facility for my retirement. What's my property value going to be? I have a rectangular piece of property. We've had fun with it, but these changes, my property means nothing. It has no value anymore. And I've listened to everybody talk tonight, and in my head, I just keep saying, my property is going to mean nothing. It'll be $0 from my retirement that I've worked all my life for. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Mariah. I run a lesson program and a therapeutic writing program. I am also raising a strong, independent child that is learning about the highs and lows of life. She has had to witness horses dying in the middle of the night. She has had to witness horses being born in the middle of the night. She has gotten to be a part of all of that. I have also been able to, along with my best friend, give that opportunity to so many families. I've been able to help people with autism, with physical disabilities, with mental disabilities, with anxiety, like I have right now, and help them gain some real independence and learn so many lessons through these amazing animals that we have that are horses. The codes, I'm a single parent. I could not afford the permits. I couldn't wait for that whole permit process. I would lose everything. I don't have any support. I have nothing. And so if these things are to pass, all of our horses will be gone. My child will not get to experience this thing that I have worked so hard for her to get to be a part of. And so many of the kids and the badass old ladies that we have in our program would also not get to experience that. And I just want you to think about all of those things. Feel free to check out our website, True Horsemanship. We've got all kinds of pictures of all the people and the horses that we save. We bring in rescues from slaughter. We bring in wild horses and we train them to be kid ponies. And so many lives have been changed and can continue to be changed if these silly codes aren't enacted. Thank you.
This closes the public hearing on rural in Kitsap County. The next thing on the schedule is...
Point of order, Chair. We do have a couple of hands raised virtually.
I didn't see that.
We do need to consider the timing of the meeting ending at...
Melissa?
Yep. And please consider we will need to wrap up the public hearing shortly.
I reopened the public hearing. Hello, Melissa.
Oh, hi there. I'm sorry about that. I have a question
I am actually speaking from somebody that owns just a horse. I am a private landowner. I'm fortunate enough to not have to board. And I'm wondering if you guys have considered the long game of if these facilities have to close, where are all these animals going to go? Have you considered that, you know, for me, I've got a couple acres. It's great for my horse. I could maybe add one, maybe two more. But then what? Then are you guys going to be knocking at my door looking for, you know, these 200-foot setbacks? And I just don't think that you have considered the true endgame of what this looks like long term. So I highly encourage you, and I would be willing to join the board, whatever it takes, to look at that this just doesn't affect people that board horses. This affects everyone. I definitely appreciate your guys' time, and I look forward to your decision in our direction. Thank you.
Not now. Deanna?
Hi, my name is Deanne Bauer, and I'm a social worker in South Kitsap School District. I work with all of the elementary schools. So I work with about 4,000 kids. I'm also an equine assisted mental health provider that's been in that profession for about 5 years. My concern if this gets passed is we are going to lose a lot of these small facilities that are providing equine assisted mental health. We have such a shortage of mental health providers in the county. This is going to be detrimental to our youth population. I just feel that they contribute a lot. There are so many. There's a lot of open areas for more mental health providers that want to provide this kind of service. And if this passes, you're going to shut down a lot of these practices, and you're going to have one more resource taken away from these kids. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Taking the other comprehensive plan into consideration and putting together Kitsap's comprehensive plan for the rural areas.
I believe the staff has. Staff want to answer that?
Yeah. We will answer after the meeting. This is not a Q&A session at this point. We have to be respectful of that. And
understand, and we're at this point, we're going to close the public hearing on rural, and the next item on the agenda is the last session of public comments on something other than rural. Anybody? Seeing none, I ask for anything for good of the order.
Given that we closed the public hearing, Chair, Mr. Chair, I assume that we will not have a meeting on September 30th.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask the committee. Is do we want us to have a meeting on the 30th to discuss what we've heard tonight, or do we just give it to the staff and pick up the regular schedule? What's the opinion of the board?
Heather, would you just remind the commission what the next order of events? You know what I mean? Like, what's the next?
Yep. So without September 30th, the next date is, I believe, October 7th, and that's the deliberations. But you'll receive pre-reads from that will include all of the comments and then our analysis of the comments, which will be organized, and then also the starts of a deliberation table. So the next step for y'all would be our deliberation. That is already scheduled.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Is that good enough, or do we need another session?
The 30th would be just for more public comment.
No. We're done with public comment. Other items? So the decision is that we'll go with the next meeting is on the
October 3rd?
October 7th.
I wasn't sure what David felt comfortable with that too.
Is David comfortable?
If that's the feeling of the rest of the commission up there, that sounds good with me.
Yes, ma'am.
I would just like confirmation that we had no other public comments online or in the room.
We've cleared the board.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any more virtual attendees with their hands up or in person. Thank you.
They're all done. Other comments? Good of the order. All in favor of quitting for tonight? Meeting closed. And we finished before 9.